This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It's Tuesday, the 15th of July. The time is 10 a.m. And you're listening to FUBAR, the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. It's a radio revolution and you are part of it. I'm Mark Dolan, and as always, today's show will be highly news reactive with 3 hours of the biggest stories being talked about around the country and across the globe. We've also got top guests, our live social media centre, and our in-studio rolling news feed, so if anything happens on the planet, you'll be the first to know. On today's show, we will react to the bloodbath that was David Cameron's cabinet reshuffle. We'll dive headfirst into the murky world of showbiz with Now Magazine's Caroline Millington. And we'll enlist the help of the greatest dentist on the planet to advise you on how to get your teeth whiter than a Nigel Farage dinner party. But of course, that's just the quiet before the storm. Because as always on a Tuesday, lightning strikes several times when Pricey's in the house. On the anniversary of the invention of air travel, I think an aviation metaphor is highly fitting. Oh yes, my co-host is faster than a Messerschmitt, more luxurious than an A380, has a better nose than Concorde, and demonstrates more threat from the air than a Spitfire. Ladies and gentlemen, we have liftoff. Strap yourselves in. I give you Katie Price.
Hey!
Katie Price, I hope that was big enough.
It was, but apart from I rolled in today.
You
struggled
did not
and rolled
roll
in.
You know what? You couldn't roll in if you tried.
Oh, I feel massive today.
You arrived in a fanfare. There are more perhaps outside than ever. It's a, I don't know, it's a crowd now. They're in double digits.
Oh, I know.
And you arrived on a train. There was drama on the train. We'll get to all of that. We've got an amazing show today. I'm so excited. You're bringing your A game. The sun's shining. Let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
Come on then. We'll start with a record. This is Talking Heads. You can communicate with us throughout the show at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. We'll do some comedy. We'll do some laughs. We'll do politics. We'll do drama, show business. The whole thing is coming after Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads. There you go, Talking Heads. And we've got the ultimate Talking Head on FUBAR Radio. Katie Price and Mark Dolan with you right through till 1 o'clock today. The time is 10:13. And Katie, I was just, it's radio, so I better describe it. But I was just saying to producer Talia how great. Doesn't Katie look marvellous?
Yeah, glowing.
Really beautiful.
You say, what have I done different? I think I've
not.
Done
it's not
a bit
like
blonder.
Last week was bad. It's not like you kind of, you know what I mean, came in looking horrific in a onesie or anything.
I probably look a bit browner, and I've gone a bit blonde with the hair, and I've got my eyelash extensions on.
Because I'm a bloke.
Yeah.
I can never, like, when my good lady wife, sometimes she'll put makeup on, she's going outside, and I go, hey, you look really well. Really, did you sleep well last night? She's like, it's makeup, you idiot.
And do I you think notice a lot of blokes,
no,
like
I, see, I don't, unless it's like really obviously lipstick. And I think blokes don't know, they just think that women look really, like, really healthy.
What about hands and feet? Does your wife wear nail varnish or have her nails done?
Yeah, she does it, but she's a tomboy like you, actually.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, but she does, but within hours, it's all cracked up and she looks
see,
like a.
One thing with me, like everyone knows, I always make sure my hands and feet are done. I get them done once a week, they always match.
Yeah.
But I always think men would notice if I didn't. I don't know. But I like it
they,
for
they
myself.
They wouldn't. Producer Talia, they would not notice, would they? Because men are thick.
No, don't tell her that.
I know.
Us women think men
yeah,
notice
you want to,
these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and you want to feel good.
You're doing it for you, though. That's the thing, isn't
I've
it?
always done my eyebrows and hands and feet, even when I was at school. Yeah. Always had them done.
It's the key areas. Well, a very busy show today. We're not just going to talk about eyebrows and feet and fingernails, because one of the big things today is the teeth, the gnashers.
Yes, lots of people have veneers, crowns, everything these days, don't they? So we got the dentist, Christina, coming in.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. She's loosely dubbed the world's greatest dentist. And the reason where I've got that from is that she is dentist to Katie Price. And
unfortunately, she has to see my mouth open once a week because I get my teeth cleaned every week.
No, I think that's a brilliant idea. Producer Talia, I love the idea
of
it.
That's an amazing idea. My own mother's a dentist and I don't even get my teeth checked that regularly.
I tell you what, it would be a bit of a coup if Talia's mum could actually sort of steal the account and get you as a basically, we could get Caroline and Jackie, which is her mum, to have a kind of face off and see who gets the contract.
Imagine.
for the price teeth.
I'd love to. Getting my teeth cleaned.
Have you ever thought about getting your teeth cleaned daily and have someone else clean your teeth? Because that would be my dream.
But the thing is, I've bought all these gadgets, like this sonic air thing. You know, instead of flossing, there's this sonic thing. And it just blows strong air between each gap.
Yeah.
So I've got that. Then you've got the flossing. Then you've got the brushes in between. But to be honest, I haven't got time to do all that every day, which is why I get them cleaned every week. I'm still brushing them every day, twice a day.
Does she come to you?
No, I just go to the dentist.
She's got all the kits.
Then I take the kids there if they need it and... Then Kieran gets his teeth cleaned there.
We're gonna go tooth crazy after 12. Also, we're gonna go Showbiz Central as well. Caroline Millington from Now Magazine, which has an exclusive Katie Price column in it, and which is the celebrity showbiz magazine of the century. So that'd be brilliant. Lots and lots of stories to get through. We're so busy today. I'll throw some headlines at yourselves. Daily Express, puzzles, best way to fight dementia, and also 300K sparkler seals Cheryl's secret wedding. Cheryl Cole, of course, we discovered in yesterday's show that she has got married to Jean Bernard, who's looked like a very dashing, handsome man. Great news for Cheryl, who looks like she's about to enjoy, at last, after a long period of misery, some domestic bliss. In fact, professional and domestic happiness, because there's like obviously a new husband.
What does he do? Do you know?
No, I've searched. I have scoured the internet.
Yeah, I don't know what he does.
I wonder.
Does he own restaurants or?
He doesn't look like a bricklayer, does he?
No.
And he hasn't gone. She hasn't gone down the Kerry Katona route of marrying a taxi driver.
No, but I don't really know what it is he's done. And if he's bought her 300K. Ring.
Ring, yeah.
He can't be doing too bad.
Am I wrong? Am I harsh on Kerry Katona and the taxi driver? Because I wonder whether if you marry a taxi driver, you know, you're never going to get lost, are you?
Well, she's not with him now. That was Mark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mark Croft.
Nice to have a man with a sense of direction, though.
It certainly is, yes.
But in other ways, he was flawed. Apart from...
I did warn her about him, but she's with a guy called George now, and he's actually lovely. He's absolutely massive. No, I'm not saying in that department, I don't know about that. But I mean, he's massive. When you meet him, he's tall,
he's bulky,
massive, like a gentle giant.
Has Kerry finally found happiness, do you think?
I actually saw her on Sunday, and she wasn't with George. She'd just come with two of her girls because I had my baby shower. Mm. And she seems really happy. She actually seems really happy. I feel sorry for Kerry. It's a bit like me in the magazines. There's this perception, and I'm not that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, I don't know, people must think, you know, I've lost the plot or whatever. But it's the same with Kerry, like what you read about her. But when you meet her, she's completely different.
Yeah, and what is that different? Just not very normal.
Well, she's just trying to get on with it. You know, she admits she's bankrupt and, you know, she's trying to get along with everything. You know, she's got five kids.
Yeah.
She's been married three times exactly like me. It's really weird because we always say... We're so similar like that. And then if it doesn't work with that guy, she gets stick for it or I get stick for it if it doesn't work out for me. But it's not always us. This is the thing.
No, she's been unlucky. I mean, if she's got five kids by, I believe, seven different
three.
Men.
Three. Three different dads. Same as me.
My maths. But here's the thing. Do you think, I wonder whether there's one difference between you and Kerry Katona from I've met her a couple of times. She's a very charming lady.
We should get her on the show.
Let's do that.
The reason I say it, because when you see magazines, you can't really talk to that person because you just read about it. But when you actually, like if you see him on TV, it's like a set interview of questions. But if she came on it like what I do and I'm just free and say what I like, you know, I bet your opinion of her is different.
Mark Croft could actually give her a lift in.
Talking of black cabbies, this
back
is the second week I've got in a black cabbie and they cannot find this place, which is why I get here like within a minute before I'm on air.
I know. Well, you did it, though. You nailed it. You were here exactly.
Yes.
Just 1 minute to 10. Do you think, because you're really right. And actually, if I could ask our team, producer Sam, to get on the case, can you do some sleuthing and find out what this dude who is married to Cheryl Cole does for a living, please? We would love to know what his job is. Because this lady is very wealthy, great career, all of that stuff. And you probably would be worried if it turned out that he was a waiter, or not that there's anything wrong with those jobs, but yeah. Do you think there's a problem in a relationship when you've got one partner who's sort of rich and powerful and the other one is like a brickie or something? Is that a problem?
Well, look at me. I'm normally always the breadwinner, yeah. And I go for the men who don't earn, you know, the same as me. But I don't know, I try and make it equal. It's not like in a relationship I'm like, go around with a label on my head saying, I earn more money than you, so I'm looking down at you. I try and make it equal. But it just goes to show, whatever man I've been with, there's always been a drama. So I don't really know the answer. Maybe do I go out with someone who's got more money than me or the same as me? Who knows?
Who knows exactly? The Daily Star, Katie, they're speculating about Cheryl Cole and her baby. Cheryl Cole, baby joy. Cheryl Cole is looking forward to becoming a mum after her surprise wedding to French lover Jean Bernard. I think, producer Talia, that's a bit of journalistic sleight of hand.
I was going to say the headline.
Yeah.
You would look at that and think, oh my God, she's pregnant.
There's no bump there. We are very excited because, Katie, I know that you're penning your thoughts about Cheryl in your latest edition of Now Magazine. So we will watch this space.
Yes, I shall put that out next week.
So she's keeping her lips very firmly sealed, and all will be revealed every Tuesday that comes out,
doesn't it? That's right.
But I will just mention on the front page of the Sun, because it is everywhere and we can't avoid it, showbiz exclusive, Cole dropped again. Newlywed Cheryl Cole plans to banish Love Rat ex-husband Ashley from her life for good by dropping his last name. The X Factor judge will take the surname of Frenchman Jean-Bernard Fernandez Versini. Producer Talia, would you say he's a bit of a dish or not?
I've looked on closer inspection and not for me.
She's been
too
on,
pretty boy.
Can I be honest with you? She was on the PC most of yesterday afternoon, just Google images, just kind of going.
That's interesting though about the name change.
Yeah,
because I always still have Katie Price for work.
Yeah,
but I suppose my men haven't been around long enough for me to have their surname.
Would you ever go down the Katie Haler route?
Do you know, I'd love to have the surname, but obviously for work, it's Price, you know, because
I know.
That's
it's your,
that.
It's your brand.
But I suppose, you know, the passport, you know, yes, I would do it, but, you know, especially like with Kieran, he'd have to prove himself first before I actually have the name.
Yeah, I mean, are you an old-fashioned girl in that way? Like, do you believe, if it wasn't for your showbiz career, and I understand that your name is Katie Price and it doesn't make sense to dilute that, but just from a sort of philosophical point of view, do you like the idea of the lady taking the man's name, or are you more of a 21st century keep your name?
Do you know, I'm quite old-fashioned, believe it or not. I just want to be in love, have that fairy tale, be that perfect wife, have their name, you know, and still have my career, because I think it's important that you both have your own career and you're not in and out each other's pockets and stuff.
But you're an old-fashioned girl. Do you like chivalry? Do you like the man to open the door and, like, I don't know, you get married? Has anyone carried you over the threshold?
No.
See, that they missed a trick there, haven't they? I mean, Alex, that would be easy for Alex. He could probably carry you and all the kids in one fell swoop. But Peter would struggle, wouldn't he? I think he'd need some help there.
Well, I haven't seen him for years, so
no,
I don't know.
You can't remember. You can't go that far back. But I think so. We mentioned, just picking up on the Kerry Katona, and getting some tweets about Kerry Katona, and a lot of people are saying they're really pleased that she's, you know, looking
and she's
like she's
lost
happy
so
again.
Much weight. Oh, my God.
Which she did brilliantly with The Sun. I think The Sun newspaper, she kind of told her story to The Sun, and it's an inspirational one. Now, my thought about her and you is, I wonder whether, there are parallels, but I wonder if there's one difference, which is that I think you've got an underlying strength. I think I know that you've had lots of pain in your life and lots of things haven't worked out, but I think you've got some steel in there.
I think we should get her on and we'll discuss this.
Let's discuss, because I wonder whether Kerry is a little bit more vulnerable, like a bit more fragile as a personality.
See, this is what you think. This is why I can't wait to get her on.
Yeah, because you think that's actually bollocks.
I think I think just shit happens with her like it does me.
Yeah.
And all we both want is to be loved, to be and be happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same for her. We've got our children and we don't want men keep coming in and out our lives, because
you've got a better accountant than she has. And also you've not succumbed to some of the temptations of you know, the
I haven't been down that road.
You haven't been down the old you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely not.
The substances.
That's I have not been,
you know,
down that
road. And you
road.
Must be, and it's so grateful. You must be grateful to yourself that that hasn't happened.
Completely.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't know really what she does with her hobbies, but, you know, I've always been into horses and, you know, things like that. Yeah, so I'm quite outdoorsy and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, do you think it's a personality thing with drugs? Because I'm not a drug taker. I like a beer.
I think some people can take that wrong path. You know, everyone does it, though. You know, everyone does it.
Yeah.
So
would we? I mean, I didn't expect you to name names, but would I be amazed if you told me some of the people that you've seen, you know, snorting stuff
up? Oh, I've seen people do stuff, but...
Has it surprised you at times, or has it not surprised you?
I would say it's more years ago, because I don't really go out anymore. Yeah, I haven't been out for ages.
But is it people who really shouldn't?
But it's always around you. People should realise it's not even in a showbiz world, it's in any world.
Yeah.
And like today, I saw on the news quickly that they've got this new drug out. I don't know anything about it, but I heard about it, that it's, I don't know, is it like coke or something? Like a killer one or something.
Oh, really? What a nasty strain of cocaine. Like, is it a bit like crack cocaine or crystal meth or something?
Yeah, if we Google it, we can talk about it. I just saw it briefly on the news. You know, there's always something that people would try and take.
Producer Sam, we've got two jobs for you. Please, can you find out the occupation of Cheryl Cole's new husband? any developments on that? Oh, well done. He's on it. Nightclub owner and restaurant owner.
Oh, that's sort of close in.
He owns some things. He's got properties.
Does he actually own it?
Yeah, that's it. Is it a lease? has he got the freehold on the building? I want more detail. I need to know.
Well, she'll be having more diamonds coming her way.
Exactly. I think they should have done due diligence and gone through his accounts before agreeing to marry. A bit like when you apply for a mortgage. You know what I mean?
Do you know, I know someone who worked in a bank and they would check out the men's bank balance before they come in to know whether they'd like to go for them or not. And it worked with her.
That is, sorry, your friend used basically banking information.
I'm not saying who,
To choose a boyfriend.
Yes.
How brilliant
and
is that?
And ended up marrying, she went out of all the rich ones.
And actually, that's not a bad way of choosing a partner, is it?
Well, I don't believe money is the route to happiness. I think money can be the route to evil as well.
What would you be doing if your career hadn't panned out the way it had?
And I'd either be a nurse.
Yeah.
A registered nurse.
Which would be a great look, I've got to say.
Well, that's what I want to do, my RGM Project 2000.
There'd be a lot of people feigning illness.
To be honest, I absolutely love taking care of people.
They'd be queuing around the hospital.
I do genuinely love taking care of people. That or a detective. I would still love to be a detective.
Right, so a nurse or a detective.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. What about a kind of in-hospital sleuth?
I'm not even kidding. I would still go down the detective route.
That is cool. Now, why do you think, is that because you're quite a good judge of character? Is that what it is?
That, and I'm fascinated with the human brain. Mm. Like the only books I read are like on serial killers, rapists, paedophiles, to try and get inside their brain. My dream job, I don't know if you've ever done something like this.
Go on.
Would to go into like
serial killer
prisons and interview like people. Try and get in their brains.
Yeah. I've come into contact with some of those darker people, and it's really, really scary. And that dark side of human nature. Do you think, having read all those books, that
there's normally something that triggers it off?
Or that's it. Are they born that way? Is it just that the child is born and that is a bad child, or is it their upbringing? What do you think?
Well, a lot of the books I've read, like Harold Shipman and stuff, there's normally things that trigger them off.
Yeah.
To make them like, there's no excuse for
what
they do.
Like a bad experience, age 9, something happened.
Something with Harold, if I remember.
You sound like friends.
I do, don't
Harry,
shit,
big Harry.
Was it his mum? They saw that she was on her deathbed or something. They kept giving her morphine and stuff. So I think that's how he came obsessed with morphine.
Sorry, his mother.
It
you
was
think
his mum or his nan. I can't
was,
remember.
Was given
when I
too
book.
Much morphine.
And that, I think that's what killed her off or something.
And perhaps it was a tragedy for him and he never recovered. And then in a weird way, perverted way, it went through. So you don't think people are born wrong-uns? You think
like
it's more
Fred
like
and
what
Rose
happened?
West, if you read their books individually, their upbringing was just like quite disturbing.
Yeah.
And then Fred and Rose met and they both had, you know, disturbing upbringings. And then two of them together, but people thought they were this perfect like couple. When really what was going on at Cromwell Street was not the case. And then you got Ted Bundy. Whenever I see a yellow beetle, I always think Ted Bundy. Because he was like the...
You make them sound like mates. They're all like Teds and Harry, Big Hazza Shipman.
No, but it's true. Like Frederick he West. Just liked the college girls, Ted Bundy.
Because he was a good-looking
guy, business guy, had his family and whatever, but he was just had obsession with college girls.
Yeah, it's weird. Oh, where's that come from? Did you just start reading one book and then you got into another
one?
Don't know.
I've always been into it. And then obviously when I had Harvey, it's his pituitary gland, you know, of course everyone's got one, that affects the way he is.
Yeah.
So I've got more fascinated with the brain. Yeah. People don't know that side of me, but I really am.
Yeah, and the bipolar disorder and manic depression, all
everything,
that stuff.
And it's all different stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Or do you think, can you imagine pursuing that in some way?
Like, if I could, I would, but I don't know where to start.
I'd love to.
Honestly, I'm not even kidding. That is like a dream job for me.
Well, I can't help with the detective thing at the moment. I do live in Highgate, North London, and my nearest hospital
isn't
is...
Isn't that where... No, what's his name? Dennis Nielsen, done his up North London.
This is amazing knowledge. In your brain, you've got like a murder map, haven't
you? I have
that.
It was Dennis Nielsen up North London, wasn't it? I can't think of the name of the road.
Yeah, you are like, I don't know, what's Agatha Christie type character.
Yeah, I love it all.
Yes, that's right. It was a horrible, grim murder in which, and this is nice for a breakfast show, which is that the neighbours could smell the drains were getting blocked.
Well, it was Dino Rod, because the drains got blocked because he lived in a flat.
Good PR for Dino Rod, though. They got
it was
sorted.
Actually, yeah, and they thought it was chicken. It's only when they got it out they realised it was human remains. Because he'd chopped them up. They were dead, and he used to have sex with them dead, and then they'd chop them up, boil them. So when they arrested him, look at me, I could talk all day about
this
all this. I don't know why we've
you make
gone
it sound normal.
This.
You're like, yeah, obviously he had sex with them when
but
they were
dead. But he pointed to
them.
He said they're in that cupboard and stuff, and they were all in black bags, all different.
So he was
body parts.
He was very rational about it.
Yeah, he used to work at the job centre or something, but I think he was a police officer as well.
He's
job
called
centre.
The Muswell Hill murderer.
There
so at least he was middle class. Yeah. My God, unbelievable. So I live in Archway, Highgate, and basically there. My local hospital is in Archway, is the Whittington Hospital. They're very low on nurses. I could put a call in.
If
just
I could
like
do
a
programme, I've always said this, where I could be something different each week, like in A&E 1 week, police officer thing the next, yeah. A murder thing another one, prison, go to orphanages. I would love to do all different things, different
Katie
roles.
Katie Price, work experience. I'm feeling it now. ITV1, I hope you're listening. It's 10:32. The incredible Katie Price is with us right through till 1 o'clock. My co-host on FUBAR. FUBAR, the home of Katie Price. We've also got your tweets and emails to get through at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. Who's your favourite serial killer? Maybe that's the text topic.
Well, I wouldn't say they're my favourite because they shouldn't be doing it.
I know. I don't know. What I don't know is how you then read these at night and then sleep and not have nightmares.
Is the Chainsaw Massacre true story or not? Is it true?
I do not know. It's another one for producers. I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
I got told it was.
Oh my God, this is a scary episode of Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio. Maybe you could help us. Do you know if that story is true? At FUBAR Radio.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, the time is 10:36. Let's have a look at your emails and tweets. Nathan has said, good morning, Mark and Katie. We've also got Rachna, who said, gutting, I'm out in meetings, so won't get a sneaky listen, but we'll catch up later. Well pointed out, Rachna, because you, of course, can listen again. Producer Talia, what's the process on the app regarding listen again? How does that work?
So there's just a listen again section that you can click on, can listen to it after.
And can you hear last week's show and the week before?
Yeah, I think so.
Fantastic.
You think so? You need to find that out.
You can.
It is a fact. Also, I've got here Miss Katie Price. I mentioned the other week about my gym experience. Here's my 9-week progress.
Now, is that Craig Scott?
Let's have a look who it is. I don't have a name. I think it must be
it
Craig.
It is Craig,
he's got fair hair and he looks very buff. He's been on a diet.
Oh, my God, Craig, have you got a big ding-dang-dully there? You need two hands to cover it.
You can't get it all in the picture, can you? It's a little graphic, that one. Lauren Walker, does anyone know how to spell the name of the cream I was suggested on FUBAR Radio? Lauren Walker. Now, because we had a skin expert a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what it was called, actually.
I can't, but I'll get in touch with Lee and let you know, Lauren.
Producer Talia will get an answer to you. Now, more headlines from the papers. Daily Mail, purge of the middle-aged men. Ruthless Cameron wields knife in cabinet bloodbath. Hague, Clark and Law Chief are out. Now for Rise of the Women. Now, I know that, Katie, you're not that obsessed with politics, are you?
Yeah, religion and politics I stay away from, but I believe women should come forward more and do more because we are good speakers too.
Correct. Well, that's the big story of this cabinet reshuffle. William Hague, who's the Foreign Secretary, he's actually going to leave Parliament in 2015. He's not fighting the next election. So I think, in fairness to him, he hasn't been axed, but he's decided probably to go and make some money, which he could make millions with the experience he's had in government. He's actually been an MP for like over 20 years, which is quite amazing.
I'm going to tell you something off air about an MP.
Can't wait.
No, it's good gossip.
Maybe on air, what do you reckon? Why don't you tell me?
I can't do it on air.
How about this? Why don't you tell me on air and not name the MP?
Because
that would be clever, wouldn't it?
Reason I can't is because it involves me.
Ah, and we'll get back to you. What if we called him, like, we came up with a name, like we called him Leonardo or Steve or something like that?
Because I can't tell you what it is that's...
Because then it will be. But was it bad or good?
Well, it's good for me.
Oh. Are you going to go live with this information at some
point?
Never.
I'm sure it will come out.
Is it sexual?
Got you thinking, I bet you want to play a song, don't you?
I do, I really, that's all I want to do. Is it a sexual thing?
I'm not answering any of your questions. I would tell you off air.
It's about me and an MP. There was a flash of guilt in Katie's eyes there. So I think I've opened a can of worms.
Or a bit of glitter.
A little bit of glitter. We'll leave it. We'll park that one for the moment. I'm going to come back to that.
Yes, park the car.
I'm going to, definitely. The interesting story about this, as you say, is the female factor, and that Cameron is very keen to refresh the look of his cabinet before the next election. And you've got a lot of females who are going to be key players, including Esther McVeigh, who's highly respected. She's gone through the ranks, and a whole range of others. And a lot of the old guard, including Kenneth Clark, who's been in politics for like 5 decades. He served under Margaret Thatcher. He's going as well. But what do you think, when you mentioned about how it's good that there are more women in representative government, what do you think women might bring to the party that men don't?
Well, I think whether you're male or female, we've all got an opinion.
Yeah.
And just because you're a female doesn't mean to say you haven't got a strong opinion. So I think it should be open for everyone, not just for men.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you think that perhaps women, like just as a species, are actually, you know, very very well suited to government because of things like, I don't know, common sense, maybe not so ego driven? Because you get the feeling with men, don't you, when they go in, they get a bit of power, they get carried away with it. It's like it's an ego trip.
The thing is, there's lots of powerful women out there, so I think women should definitely stand up and have a chance to speak as well.
Do you think women handle power differently? Like, do you think there's more of a risk of the man, it becomes an ego thing, it goes to his head, he indulges, whereas a female will have power but just use that for good purpose?
No, I think it could be equal, but you know, they say that women can multitask, so you know, men are rubbish at multitasking and stuff, but to stand there, yeah, I think there's no reason why women couldn't do it.
If you had to choose,
so get stick for it, but
if you had two politicians who were of equal ability, but one was a female, one was a male, which would you prefer to be prime minister? Like, do you think it would be good for this country to have another female prime minister?
I wouldn't be swayed by what sex they are. Right. It would definitely be what they come up with.
Now, I know that you've never really allied yourself to one party or another. You're quite politically neutral. Mm-hmm. And I guess you want to keep it that way.
Well, yeah, because I always think, what's my vote going to do?
Yeah. Do you vote?
No.
Would you think others should vote?
Well, I suppose if people didn't vote, then no one would, you know, get that place. But I just don't vote. I just stay away from religion and politics. There's always going to be dramas with it. Mm. You know, if there was a politician out there who says we don't have to pay 50% tax and a VAT and stuff like that, because I think high taxpayers should get a lot more... lot more out of it, to be honest.
Yeah, and therefore, if there was somebody that had views that represented where you're at, you'd be more inclined to go to the polling station.
Well, yeah, like I say, I don't know, my view's different to everyone's view, but I know I pay a lot of tax, VAT and stuff, and I just think there should be more given to us.
Yeah.
You know, even if I don't have to pay congestion charge or something, there's got to be something, because we pay so much. Yeah. And what do I benefit different to someone who's in a lower tax bracket?
I just think it's
really unfair.
They've also proved that the higher the tax rate goes, the less money you actually get, because all people do is try to avoid it.
Exactly.
There's actually an argument that when the tax rate is like the top one is 40%, everyone just pays it, whereas when it creeps up, that's when people start getting creative.
It's horrible to know that when you do a job, you only get half of that.
Yeah.
You know, but I always advise people, you must pay your tax, because it will creep up and they will find you eventually.
They will. Very, very wise. You're absolutely right. And as I say, and I know you're not political, but did you have some admiration for Margaret Thatcher? The only reason I ask that is because I think that you're a strong female who actually has, you know, you've got a successful business and you're very much in control of your life and, you know, you're a very driven person. I wonder whether that sort of those qualities were something you probably saw in Margaret Thatcher a bit.
To be honest, sorry, I'm eating a chocolate croissant. I've already started.
Well, I brought in a range of patisserie today.
Know.
Do you know, every week that goes by, the bigger you get, the more I want to feed you.
And the more I'm eating.
Because you know what? You're eating for two. There's nothing on you. Apart from the bump, you're like a, you
well,
know what
it's
I mean?
Any skinny. Day, isn't it, really? So might as well enjoy it. Anyway, going back off it, Margaret Thatcher. I can't really remember really what she does. No, because I was young. Do you know what? My only memory of Margaret Thatcher, I don't know why, is the Grand Hotel in Brighton when it got bombed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I remember, because I remember we was all walking along and watching it.
Yeah, I know. I
don't really like I said, I don't really know much about these politicians and stuff,
you know,
because
amazing?
I don't really like watch it.
One of the stories I heard about her was I always think the stories about politicians that are not the political stories are the most interesting and also the most illuminating. And the hotel was bombed in the early hours, right? There was all obviously commotion.
You're on about the Grand, yeah.
The Grand Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a huge, obviously a global story. It was a tragedy because some people, Norman Tebbit's wife was permanently disabled. It was a nightmare. And it happened. And then about 3 o'clock, she spoke to all her colleagues and she said, right, everybody go to bed now. They're like, what? What do you mean go to bed? And they're like, they've got rooms for us. Get back in bed, get your head down, get 2 hours because we've got work to do tomorrow. So she marched over and said, they all just went to bed. She got like 2 hours shut eye, up in the morning, boom, business as usual.
Well, I suppose she had to like carry on that role.
Yeah, because you got when you're in a corner as a human being, you've really got two ways. You either run away or you run into it, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a good attitude.
All right, well, look, we've got many, many more stories from the papers. And in 15 minutes' time, we're going to go showbiz as well with Caroline Millington from Now Magazine.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It most certainly is. The time is 10:52. Lots and lots of emails and tweets coming in. Wendy Blackshaw has said, very excited about this show. Tuning in now from Australia. Thank you, Wendy. Great to have you listening in lovely Oz. Also, Gareth has said, tune into FUBAR Radio for my favourite.
Is that Gareth McDonald?
It is.
No,
lovely Gareth.
I'm not even looking at the screen, but I know the fans.
Because you just know, you know your people. Joe has said that Katie and Kerry Katona should team up to do a take on The Simple Life. Work for Paris and Nicole. That'd be all right.
I'd love to do that.
Terry Louise said, how are you, Katie? Hope you and the kiddies are okay. Wish you would do another reality show. There's a lot of people asking about reality shows.
Well,
you?
Funny enough, I had Ben, the camera crew, here the other week, didn't I?
You did.
And no one, like, he was in the, that when I was papped leaving, he was in the back. But put it this way, lots of people been asking for like ages, am I doing reality again? All I'm saying is, you saw a camera.
Yeah.
Do I need to say any more?
Yeah, watch this space.
Exactly.
Did you enjoy the process of being followed around by a camera crew in, you know, all those hit shows that you did?
Well, I was doing it for a decade, even before I met Pete. I did a couple for BBC One with a guy called Richard Mason.
Yeah.
And you know, he followed me to America when I was doing Playboy, when I took Harvey to see an eye specialist out there.
Mm.
And then obviously I met Pete, and then I did my reality show of him. Then I did my own. And so I've sort of had a break, but I do miss it. I absolutely love it. But the difference with my reality show to any other show is mine isn't scripted.
Yeah.
Because there really is things going on. And if you think about it, people say it must be really hard to do a reality show. But because it's about me, there's just things that always happen in my life that I don't need it to be scripted. And I don't wear all the makeup, dress myself up. It really is behind the scenes what I do.
So the only way you could have coped with it for 10 years was by just being yourself and letting them follow you around. Because if it was a performance and you were getting zhuzhed up every time, you'd have just got sick of it after 2 weeks, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm just not like that anyway. I just think if you're going to do a reality
show,
what you see is what you get. And I think if you do a reality show, people want to see reality. They want to see you at home. They want to see what you look like when you wake up, when you're in your trackies, what you do. And
did you worry that it would? Because, I mean, that's not how it played out, but did you worry that it might dilute your brand a bit if people seeing you, you know, just like being bleary eyed and no makeup and, you know what I mean? None of us look particularly brilliant when we first wake up.
I look fabulous.
I know you do. You're unique. No. You're very lucky like that. But no, I'm joking. Did you worry? Was there a slight element of a gamble there?
No, that's what I mean. I'm not bothered by people seeing me without makeup, what I look like in the morning. Because at the end of the day, it's not normal to be dolled up in makeup all the time.
Yeah.
I really have no problem people knowing what I'm like. I don't mind. I suppose I'm like an open book. There are elements of my life that are private,
yeah,
believe it or not. People would probably think I'm quite boring. So I am at home all the time, drink tea, just do whatever. I bought more chickens yesterday, not that anyone wants to know.
You've not been buying more livestock.
Well, actually, Kieran did. They're called Silkies. If you Google Silkies,
yeah,
they are gorgeous chickens.
All right.
You've got to Google.
And are they
Silkies?
Are they silky because they've got very soft feathers?
You'll see a picture.
All
and
right.
You'll see.
And are they for eating or for what?
No, we've got like loads of them. We like
just
breed them. And
ornaments.
And then he bought me two lilac ones yesterday.
Right. Okay. So lilac, it's purely to look at.
Look at them.
Oh, look, we've got them. Oh, they are cute. They are really...
That is not like a normal chicken, is it?
Really fluffy. That is a fox's wet dream, that is.
Have you not ever seen a chicken like that?
No, I have not. No.
So he got me two white ones and three black ones because we got a cockerel with it as well.
I'm mixing in the wrong circles. Does this creature have any function or is it just as a pet?
Like, no, they do boiled eggs.
Will they die of natural causes?
Oh, yeah, but we get our boiled eggs from them. We must get now about 50 eggs a day, boiled eggs.
See, now that is a very special hen, that you get boiled eggs from this hen.
I could bore you. If you came to my house and we showed you all the different chickens.
Do they make scrambled eggs as well, or is it just the boiled format? What's the thing?
Well, they give you eggs. We get all different eggs. We've got turkey eggs. Look, how boring do
turkey
I sound?
Eggs.
Turkey eggs. We get geese eggs. And all our chickens, they produce all different eggs.
I think eventually you're going to have to live in Buckingham Palace. Do you know that? You've got so many creatures in your life. You're
addicted,
aren't
you? The thing is, when
I
take my kids to like farms and stuff, they're not interested because they see it at home.
They've got it all at home,
yeah,
haven't they? Just right. It's 10:57. We were talking actually about your,
reality. So how I got onto bloody chickens.
Well, no, that's it. We were talking about that, and it's interesting because one of the things that has grown steadily over the years is just, you know, is your fame, and you are. I think you're the most famous woman in the country.
I hate the word famous. I just think that I've been very, very lucky, but I do work hard to where
Correct.
But I just think it's interesting for people to see my life because everyone has dramas. And I don't know, I think my life is quite interesting because I'm pretty normal and down to earth. Yet there's this side of me where there's always dramas and something going on. And I think it's quite fascinating for an outside person to see really what goes on.
Yeah, I think so. You're not afraid to be yourself. And I wonder whether, because you've got this huge fan base, and I'm imagining that mostly you've had a very good relationship with your fans, but there are some crazy stories out there, and there are a couple which we've actually got which are trending at the moment. One is about Hugh Laurie, who of course starred in House, the hit American drama. He's an English comedy actor, one half of Fry and Laurie, of course, a fabulous, and also a brilliant blues pianist. He's a multi-talented guy. The headline is, he must be a fan. Serbian border official keeps Hugh Laurie waiting an hour while he photocopies his passport as a souvenir. Hugh Laurie almost lost his passport while trying to cross into Serbia after an official kept hold of the document so he could photocopy it as a souvenir. The 54-year-old actor, who won two Golden Globes for his role as Dr. Gregory House on the American medical drama House, tweeted about the humorous incident as he toured with his blues group Copper Bottom Band. That is a bit freaky, and it conspires with another story about Kim Kardashian Uber fan. This is a lady called Claire Leeson. She went on This Morning. She told Ruth Langsford and Ben Shepherd, who was standing in for Eamon Holmes, that she started to make her teeth look like Kim Kardashian, and she's had everything done.
Mm.
18 grand she spent getting the Kim Kardashian look because Kim Kardashian is just an inspiration to her. $5,000 on Kardashian boobs, $2,500 on Kardashian teeth, hair extensions,
make up a grand, sorry, $4,500 on hair extensions, by the way. Spray tans, the lot, bum padding. Now, not only has she had her arms made bigger, but she's actually wearing special pants with a silicone implant to give herself the big derriere. Now, you look at this and you just think, well, that is, in a way, that is a fan. That is a bit scary. That takes it to another level, don't you think?
Well, it does. There's so many beautiful women out there. And, you know, like I always say, the Victoria's Secret models are stunning. I know I am never, ever going to look like them, but I can admire their beauty.
Yeah.
Now, if someone wants to start going down the plastic surgery route to look like someone, I think that surgeon should be honest and say, look, everyone is born different. You've all got different genetics. You're not going to look like that person. You're really not. If anything, you'll look freaky because you're trying, you know, you've had so much surgery. But I think when there's someone you look up to, there's little things. You can might be able to copy their hair and stuff and some of their style. But to actually have plastic surgery in that to look like someone, it's just not going to happen. You'll just look freaky, I think.
It's dysfunctional, isn't it? It's weird. It's not healthy, I don't think, to try to become someone else.
Yeah, I've had people who want to look like me.
Yeah.
But I don't even look like me anymore because I've had surgery. So, but to be like me, for example, it's easy. Get your boobs done. You can get your hair extensions. And I suppose you can get contact lenses because my eyes are green. But I mean, to actually start, you know, trying to change your face and stuff like this, I think that's a bit...
It's very strange. When you are looking at photos of yourself at 17, 18 years of age, do you like what you see? Or do you look at that and go, oh, God, I'm so glad I've had the work done because I don't want to look like that?
I think when you get older, you know what suits you better.
Yeah.
But obviously, when I'm 17, my lips look bigger and I didn't have anything done.
Yeah.
The thing is why I had my teeth done is because when I was younger, I was a tomboy and I was on my brother's skateboard. And you know when you put your knee on it and you roll along?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And there was like a drain, like a bumpy bit. I used to go really fast over it. But this particular day, the wheel got stuck. So my face slammed on the cement, you know, the pavement. So I cracked my tooth.
Right.
So they couldn't fix that, so I had to put a crown on it. Then the other one lost its nerves and went discoloured.
Was that because of the accident as well?
That's because of falling off the skateboard. So I had two crowns at the front.
Effectively lost two teeth, really.
Yeah, so I had them crowned. And then as you get older, they don't really match the rest of your teeth. So that's why I ended up having veneers. Yeah. It's not by choice because I wanted to. It's just because I did fall off a skateboard and crack my tooth.
What we're going to do at midday is that we're going to speak to the world's greatest dentist.
You're so funny.
I try. And we are going to... she's here to help you guys, actually. It's actually about you and about your teeth. So have you got issues with your teeth? Have you got... I don't know. It could be anything. It could be a pain that just won't go away. Maybe a bit of halitosis.
Please, bad breath.
Do you not like the colour of your teeth? You know, let's go through all of that. And also something I can't wait to ask her about is about mercury amalgam fillings.
What the hell's that?
Well, basically, you know the classic filling, which is kind of dark in colour. It's a kind of metallic colour, isn't it? Well, there's some people think that those are toxic and that when you've got mercury fillings, it leaks into your bloodstream and it causes you to be ill. Some people think that. Other people think that's nonsense. Right. So we'll get into that. I'm fascinated. The whole world of dentistry is huge. And you
it
can
is.
Very much judge a little bit about somebody through their teeth, can't you?
If someone had their teeth done, they can look so much better.
Yeah.
But then if you're going to get your teeth done, you've got to look after them. Because otherwise, if you get crowns and that, you can get that like, that old peoply mottle smell.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? When you go in their houses, that kind of mothball.
Yeah, I know. With regard to the people, this lady is a Kim Kardashian fan, turning herself into Kim Kardashian, obviously not healthy because what that means is that she doesn't like who she is and that's clearly where she's going wrong. She's called Claire Leeson. Rather than making Claire Leeson look the best she can, she's trying to become someone else.
But she looks good there to me.
She's quite natural. Like Kim Kardashian anyway because she's got dark hair and similar colouring and all the rest of it. But would you be freaked out if you met somebody who'd called herself by Deadpool Katie Price and had just gone, she wasn't trying to steal your career, she just loves you. Would you be freaked out by someone that had just literally is a clone?
Do you know what I'd actually love to do?
What?
And we're going to put it out there. I would love 1 week for us to find five lookalikes of me.
It's a brilliant idea.
Like proper like fan lookalikes and have them in here or, you know, and talk to them and so they meet me because like, they're probably, idea. When they meet me, they might be, it's completely, I don't know. How cool would that be?
Yeah,
or let's each do that. Week, let's have a Jordan lookalike.
Yeah, I love it.
But
I
a
love
serious
it.
One, not a, like a gimmicky one.
No, that's
you know.
It. Do you, have you got a friend that looks like Katie? Do you look like Katie? At FUBAR Radio.
I've had many people who try and then, you know, fuck my husband. But apart from that one, should we get some proper serious people in?
Let's do that, he said, moving on very swiftly. At Miss Katie Price is Katie's Twitter handle. And we are at FUBAR Radio. And I'm at Mr. Mark Dolan. So do tweet in and do some help. We need your help on this one. This is a collective effort to find Katie Price lookalikes. The other thing which is quite interesting is that there's a lot of body stuff out in the papers today. And the question in today's Mail Online is, would you have a £300 butt facial? Body conscious holidaymaker splashing out on tip-top tush treatment that promises to get bottoms beach ready. I know that last night I just caught myself in the mirror and I definitely felt like my tush was not beach ready. And my missus, I checked with her, is this beach ready? She's like, no, it's not even, it's just not ready for anything.
But when you say beach ready, to me, what, has someone got to have boils or something on their bum and then they, what, go and get it treated and squeezed? What is a beach bum ready? What is it?
I know. Well, I think it's a smooth complexion. I mean, it's a butt
facial.
Is it facial,
what, so
you know?
Wear a G-string so it looks good?
Yeah,
or?
I think there's so much these days. I think there's so much arse exposed on the beach, especially like with the vibe of Brazil and the World Cup and all of that stuff that, you know, the Brazilians, they show their bodies off more than
they got amazing bodies.
Amazing bodies.
I would say going to the gym, working out on your bum would give it a better shape and look than having a facial on it.
I know what you mean. They've got Kim Kardashian and Miranda Kerr parading their perfect posteriors on social media, which is why body conscious beachgoers are spending nearly £300 on this treatment, the butt facial. It's a beauty craze to come out of New York. The costly 40-minute procedure uses lasers, chemical peels and moisturizers to tone and smooth the skin. Are you sure you're not even half interested in that?
Do you know what? If there's a surgeon over here, because it's not cosmetic stuff, you're not injecting anything
it's
in it, are you?
It's mainly your skin, really.
But if there's a surgeon in England, I'll try it and then I'll come on and tell you if it makes a difference. I'll do a before and after shot. So if there's a surgeon out there who wants to give me this facial on my ass, I would try it.
There you go.
As
Katie
long as there's
Price.
No needles.
Do you know what? Once again, Katie Price puts her ass on the line and doesn't let the side down. What we're going to do after this is we're going to go showbiz. Caroline Millington from Now Magazine, in which Katie Price has an exclusive column, joins us next.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Not just Mark Dolan and Katie Price. We throw everything at this show, and I'm thrilled to say some of it lands, because in the studio with us is from Now Magazine, which is the weekly showbiz must-read. It's Caroline Millington. Welcome back to FUBAR, Caroline.
Good morning.
Now, Caroline, you've been to Thailand on holiday.
I have, Thailand and Cambodia.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Was that 2 weeks?
10 days.
10 days. Love it. It's a good length of time.
Yes.
Now, my first thought is humid.
Hot.
Yeah.
Very, very
cloying,
warm.
Sticky heat.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you were in a gorgeous air-conditioned hotel.
We were, but there was a lot of temple visiting, so we were, you know, covered up.
And you said
30.
You felt old.
I did, because it was full of back. Thanks, Katie. Because it was full of backpackers.
But you're my age, so
oh, no,
you're
exactly.
Fine.
Yeah, it was full of young'uns on their gap years. And then
discovering
older,
themselves.
Yeah, and then us. And of course, we're like, yeah, we're really young. And then they were, I think, probably just thought, oh, what are these two old women doing? Like,
stop.
Drinking in our bars.
Don't even go there.
No, it was really fun, though. And we met some lovely people. And
then you did a lot of temple visiting. Now,
yeah.
I'm a bit over the temples. Maximum respect for that religion. But I'm thinking when you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Well, I always believe I don't go sightseeing. I just get postcards.
It's a good idea.
It's true.
Do you know what?
I hate sightseeing.
You've actually, Caroline, you've missed a trick, right? You should have spent 10 days in the bars of Thailand. And then when you got home, Google all the temples. Do you know what I mean?
That, yeah. See, that's where we went wrong. No, but what we were doing was in the bars till 2 and then did temples the next day. We didn't miss
you?
Out on
and
the
And actually
bars.
The temple, probably quite a good hangover cure.
Oof, I can't do heat and hangovers.
Some of those bars were as eye-opening as the temples, let me tell you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you embarrassed by any... My thing when I go abroad is British holidaymakers abroad. Was there any bad behaviour, like stag parties or anything like that?
Do you
that?
Know what? No. I mean, there was bad behaviour, as in some of the middle-aged men walking around with young Thai women.
Yeah, it's always, it's always depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, these shows, it's not cabaret, it's prostitution.
What do you think of these men, Kay? Because I like sometimes watch Ladyboys of Bangkok.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a straight man, okay,
yeah,
and we obviously know what I'm going to say, and you go for a Thai girl and they've got all their bits and they have sex with them, are they gay?
No, because I don't think, they don't realise it's...
But when they're down to it and it all flops out and it's then it's like, oh dear, they've got a dick.
Well, I actually spoke to
a... Are they gay? Yeah, but are they?
Of course they are.
I spoke to a young Australian guy out there because they're like, all the guys, honestly, you'd think us two like blondes abroad didn't get a look in because the guys were just after all the Thai girls and ladyboys. So I was talking to this Australian guy in a bar in Patong, classy, and I said, well, how do you know? Like, how do you know...
Correct.
You're taking a Thai girl home.
You can come unstuck.
It happened to him. He said, I took two girls home with me, and when I realised that they actually had penises, he said, I let them have the money and sent them away.
See, a lot of guys would say because they've gone that far down into it, they just carry on.
Well, I don't know. It was
but are they gay? Are they bisexual or gay if they carry on?
I think they're probably
doing the whole
drunk. Would be my answer.
No, they're gay. I mean, the penis, that's the gay bit. When there's a willy involved, you're in the world.
If you carry
you're in a gay world once the penis arrives.
But some guys say if it's dark and you're doing the anal bit, it's just like a vagina hole. So, and they don't see the dick and they're doing it doggy style. They don't think of it.
I've not had that conversation.
Yeah, but just the knowledge.
I like to ask details.
If you've got a straight man and
it's
knows...
It's a serious question.
What it is if the man knows of the existence... doesn't matter what orifice you're entering. If there's a penis nearby, you want out.
Interesting.
But that was the thing. It was amazing. And Thailand and the people are beautiful. Cambodia, the people are beautiful. But... it was strange seeing so many Western guys out there.
It's depressing. I've seen it as well. And what you get is some horrible, fat, sweaty, red-faced Englishman.
Like Ladyboys of Bangkok. That's an example.
But you've got
seen
this
it?
Big, horrible...
I've seen it in the flesh.
Mm. You've got this pig of a man sat there. And then, and this is not the Ladyboy one, but more of the kind of Thai bride scenario.
Yeah.
You horrible, bloated, probably an alcoholic, probably a horrible bully. And he sat there... chowing down his food, mentally undressing, and they sit there and they don't even talk. She's like smiling politely.
But the surprising thing was the number of young, attractive Western guys going to the bars, going to the strip joints,
helping themselves.
Because in the red light district, the girls are all stood outside with numbers on. This is not somewhere you go to hang out and have a drink. It's prostitution.
It's organised.
And it's, you know, don't get me wrong, we were not judging the women involved in this at all. But I'm sorry, we were judging the men.
But how good looking do they look, though?
They're beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh, they're so beautiful.
But they really are.
Yeah.
Do you think, would you look down on, if let's say that, you know, your partners, if they said, look, back in the day when I was 19.
Well, I had a partner that had done Ladyboys.
Really?
I'm sure you can guess who.
And do you think that meant that that person was probably gay?
Well, we all know he's not that normal anyway. but like generally,
would
people
you,
when
you
talk to...
Because you answer that question. You ask that question, which is if someone's shagging a ladyboy, does that make them gay? What do you think?
Well, I don't... It's hard to ask because, I don't know, some people say try anything and they might not be gay. Or maybe some people... I don't know. I think a lot of men are curious what it would like. At the end of the day, a man could give another man a better blowjob than what a woman could, I believe, because you got the bits and you know what it's like.
You know
like.
Your way around.
It's just like a woman could probably do me better than a man because they know your bits. Does that not make sense?
It does.
Caroline Millington, Now Magazine.
I do think it kind of does make sense. I guess they always say like men perform oral sex better because they do know.
Yeah.
I do think that... straight men don't go there with other guys, but
if they're drunk,
but no, not
and
even
they
if
look
they're
really
if
good,
they're
like
straight,
the Thai girls.
If they're straight, but if they're bicurious or bisexual, which is absolutely nothing wrong with, of course
correct,
they will.
Correct.
I think just maybe we assume some guys are straight or they think they're straight, and there's some bicuriosity that they haven't come to terms with.
But then you know that if you go to Thailand, you basically know that most of these beautiful women are men and they've got their bits.
I think there was a little mixture, though, between like female prostitutes and ladyboys.
Mm.
But I know that if I met a guy and he said, "Oh, I've gone to I went to Thailand," and I'm like, "Oh, what, with an ex-girlfriend or with a group traveling?" And he was like, "No, on my own." Then I'd be like, "No,
the alarm bells are ringing." Yeah.
Because there were so many guys there, and you could spot them.
Really?
Well, there's a very fine line, isn't there, between going abroad and using prostitutes and being a sex tourist. There's a fine line.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You know, no, it's very. There is one thing before we get into showbiz, mm-hmm. which is that men scrub up pretty well. Like, in terms of the ladyboys thing, apart from the willy, a ladyboy's bringing lots of the party in the looks department. Men look pretty good. If you an average man who's in reasonable physical shape, if you put makeup, false boobs.
I don't know, not in my experience.
Men have got decent legs, haven't they?
Men in general? Men in England?
Well, maybe not, but the ladyboys, look, some people say they actually look better than any woman ever could.
They're beautiful.
That's what they say.
Are.
Is that true or not?
I think they look stunning. When I've seen the ladyboys, the show in England, you can't stop staring at them because they are so gorgeous.
Cheekbones, isn't it? Cheekbones.
But it's obviously all makeup. If you go on YouTube, because I've looked at how they do their makeup, you know, you see them before and you're like, how on earth can they transform into what they do? They look stunning.
But some of them are evidently guys and some weren't. And I think from what I've seen, the surgery that takes place in Thailand and the money and the risks, you know, they go through is nothing like the surgery you would have here, the aftercare. You know, the fact that, I mean, ladyboy seems such an exotic thing to us, but it's a condition. It's something they want to do. They want to live as women, but they don't have the support system that we would have over here.
No.
If you wanted to have a partial sex change or live as the opposite sex.
But also, I think you're being far too kind, right, to that culture, because I wonder whether a lot of these guys turn themselves into women to make money. I wonder whether
that's a good question.
I wonder for some of them, it's not an expression; it's just a good business. And it goes on all over the world, doesn't it? Apparently, there's a culture in Italy of married, religious, like Catholic married men who go off and they do dogging. But there's a particular variant of dogging where they get sucked off by like men dressed as women. It's just a bonkers world.
Well, if you really open up the can of worms, there's all sorts of things that go on out there, isn't there?
There certainly are. And you know what? Speaking of which, let's talk about the Rooneys. Right, Colleen Rooney, who is not a ladyboy, she's very much a lady. And I don't think Wayne Rooney would look that great in makeup. Is that just me?
I think you're right.
Stick to football would be my advice. She said she'd like a baby girl to complete the family. Now, how many have they got? You'll have to update me how many kids they've got.
They got three.
No, they've got two boys, Kai and Clay.
Okay.
Oh, shows how much I know. Look at you, check you out.
Boom.
Yay.
And they want another little one. I wonder whether she's going to, because she's only 28, isn't she? So she could have many more in her.
She could be like me on the 5th.
Popping them out.
Yeah.
I think I asked you on day one, but I've forgotten the answer, which is, can you imagine continuing the production line once this little rascal's out?
Yes, but I'm going to wait till I'm in my 40s and I'll have another two. Right. I actually asked the doctor this. With C-sections...
Mm.
Like, I'm like, how many can you have?
Yeah, because there's supposed to be a limit.
But they say it's not that. Each time you have a C-section, it's a risk.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'm like, okay, but the longer you leave it in between, is it better for you? And they said, well, no, not really, because once it's healed, it's healed. It doesn't matter if you leave it 5 years, 6 years. Once it's healed,
it's healed. Do you have to have C-sections now? Would you ever?
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, okay.
Any of your children naturally?
Harvey.
Did you have Harvey naturally?
Harvey Gassner.
And I'm imagining that he was
a
big boy.
Die.
Was he a big boy?
Yeah, he was 8 pounds, 13.
That's going to sting. That is going to sting.
Did that sting?
Fucking hell.
Did you recover from?
I will never forget that pain.
And after that was C-section all the way, was it?
Well, I had to with Junior.
Yeah.
So then once you've had one, I suppose then it's sort of easier. Mm. But I'll definitely like another two, but I'll wait till I'm in my 40s.
Seven. What? Well, you like babies, don't you?
Yeah, I just want a big family. But the trouble is, what car do you buy? I'd have to buy a minibus.
Or get a little trailer attached.
Something.
Pop them in the back.
But I don't know. You know, I've always wanted a big family, and I just know I haven't. Basically, I would keep going until the doctor says you can't have any more.
Yeah.
That if I end up having more than two more after this, then I would. I'll just keep going until they say, Kate, enough's enough.
Boom. And Colleen She has had two. She wants more. She wants a little girl, which I guess you can understand to complete the set. I've got special day today. I've got two boys, Arthur and Peter.
Oh, okay.
And it's Arthur's birthday and he's 9.
Happy birthday,
happy
Arthur.
Birthday.
And it's one more year of having an age in single digits.
So Junior and Arthur in the same year then?
Yeah, 2005. Mm. Like yeah. Basically, it's very sweet. And he's still at that age. It's that lovely window when he's still innocent but still becoming a big boy.
Yes.
It's that area, that grey area. So, for example, at the playground now, he doesn't let me pick him up because I'm terrible like that. I insist on carrying him around still, even though he's 9. But at home, he still does let me cajole him and cuddle him and everything. But at school, he's like, get off, you know. So you get self-conscious. Mm. But we went to Thorpe Park the other day for his birthday. And it was really sweet because we went on a couple of the wild rides. And then he was with his mate, who's the same age. Oh, let's go on that one. It looks amazing. It's so fast. And they pointed to, like, the teapot ride. Do you know the one where you sit in a teacup and it is the most
spinning teacups.
It's the most sweet, innocent little toddler thing. And it's just that beautiful age where he still thinks that's a bit of a wild thing to do. Next year, he'll be like, wouldn't be seen dead in a teacup. And I just thought, treasure that moment. They were in there and trying to make it go faster. And I just thought,
bless.
Special window. So I can see your addiction to children. It's the greatest blessing in the world, isn't it? But I've got to, I don't feel the need to mix the gender. I don't need a set like a little girl just to...
Like a King's Choice
but
boy
can
and a
you
girl.
See that, Caroline, why you would want
I think
a mix?
So. I mean, if you've got the money to be able to and, stable family background, why not have as many kids as you want or you can have? And they've got two little boys that Colleen obviously does dote on them and Wayne. They're like mini little Roonies.
Yeah.
And having two is really cute, but I can see why she'd want a little girl. It's I guess it's a bit like Victoria Beckham had her three boys and they went for that fourth to see and then they had Harper. So it kind
I
of
know you can go to a place, can't you, and choose the gender.
Ooh.
See, I wouldn't do that personally. I just think what you get is what you get.
Yeah.
But then I'm lucky because I've already got a girl and I've got another girl on the way and I've got boys. I've got everything.
When you've got the whole set, you might get, what's those fluffy chickens? You might have one of those eventually. What's it called? A silky?
A silky.
Luckily, you don't have to give birth to one of those.
Oh, okay. Kieran got me yesterday.
See, even when she's not making wonderful creatures, she goes to shops and buys them as well. But she's got this breed of chicken that makes hard-boiled eggs. So, or at least it makes the eggs which you hard-boil.
Right, do you know what I learnt about chickens?
Go on.
I say it wrong. I just thought they just... Oh, no. I'm actually not going to say it. I'm going to work out what I'm going to say because I know I'll say it wrong. I'm having a blonde moment. So let's go back to, would you like a girl or not?
I've got a question about Colleen and Wayne, which is that they've been through a lot, haven't they?
Yeah.
Are they now like one of the most stable couples in showbiz? Because it seems like... They seem like a couple who had early problems and seem to have got very settled down and put it behind them. What do you reckon?
Is there such thing as a stable couple in showbiz?
Probably not.
As far as I know, they seem really happy. I think Wayne obviously made a lot of mistakes when he was younger.
Yeah.
Colleen forgave him
for
that.
What mistakes were they?
Cheating.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? It was an allegation of a prostitute, wasn't
yes.
it?
So, I mean...
But
the
thing
wasn't
is, it an allegation of an older prostitute?
Yes.
Wasn't she about 60 or something?
Yes. Allegedly.
But the thing is, whether you're a celebrity or not, all couples go through it.
Ups and downs.
Through something.
Yeah, difficulties. Of course, that's what life is.
Yeah.
And I guess it makes you or breaks you.
I think the thing is that if you've got the early trauma in the relationship and then that person agrees to change...
And you can build on it, then it can only make you stronger.
Yeah, and maybe at that point, there's no, I think if there was bad stuff happening, we'd probably know about it. But they seem like...
They've got through it.
They seem like they've got through it, and they seem quite solid somehow.
So I remember years ago seeing pictures of her still in her school uniform with him. So they have, like, come through it all together.
She's a childhood sweetheart, aren't
they? Exactly,
yeah,
and that is a nice
16.
Love story. Okay, he allegedly might have messed up a bit or whatever, but... They seem stronger than ever. They seem happy.
And she was never, he needs someone like that because she wasn't asking for the money because when they met, as you say, he was just this spotty young footballer.
He proposed in a garage forecourt.
Oh, that really?
Was, very, yeah, very it was kind romantic. Of, they were really going to say yes wherever you can.
Yeah.
So I just think good on them. You know, they've got a marriage. They're going to keep going. So it's one of those things.
Let's hope she has a girl.
Yes.
Third time lucky.
Definitely good luck to Colleen.
She's not even pregnant yet. Look at us, like, I know. Predicting.
What we'll do after the next track, we're going to talk about Rihanna and also the curse of the airbrush, and we'll be asking Pricey whether she ever would. Here are the Beatles, The Ballad of John and Yoko.
On FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. At this stage in our show on a Tuesday, we always go Showbiz Central right up until midday. Georgia Greaves is enjoying the show, and she says, listening to Katie Price on FUBAR Radio, hashtag honest, hashtag to the point, absolutely right. Let's be honest and to the point now about a couple of people. First of all, Cara Delevingne. What's she up to?
Go on, Caroline, I'm looking at you.
Oh, no, you
just
are.
Explained it really well to me.
So Cara has joined a group of celebrities who are campaigning to free the nipple.
Free
the,
which I'm completely behind, I've got to say. It's a cause close to my heart.
That's good to know.
What is the free the nipple about? Because it does involve these famous young women walking around topless, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, top and putting pictures. Because I believe it was Instagram took down some pictures of topless women saying, like celebrities such as Rihanna and whoever, saying it's inappropriate, it's explicit material. So a lot of these celebrities were like, hang on a minute, it's natural, it's fine, let's free the nipple. I think it was Rumour Willis went out in New York and walked the streets topless.
Bruce Willis's daughter.
Yeah, and Demi Moore, to make a point and said, well, in New York, it's not illegal to walk around topless, but I can't put this picture then on Instagram because they're taking it down. Carr is joined in the campaign to free the nipple. And I guess it's like that throwback of Page Three and whether Instagram are too uptight or whether we should be allowing sexually explicit content on social media.
Yeah. Now, can you describe the photo that she sent on Instagram? Because did she do this before and after thing?
Yes. So there's a picture comparing a guy's nipple to, I believe it might be her nipple.
And you're allowed to show a man's nipple?
Yes. And within the pictures, there's an arrow to breast tissue, which obviously men and women both have. Areola, which men and women both have, and then the nipple, which the guy can show, but there's masking tape over the female. So they're saying it's a body part. It's hypocritical that guys can show their nipples, but women can't because they're bigger, because we have more breast tissue.
Yeah, and in some ways, when blokes, especially a British male of a certain age and a certain size, the weather gets good, men start going topless, don't they, and stood outside pubs.
Well, they
drinking.
Should definitely be banned.
And I'm thinking, don't free the nipple, incarcerate the nipple and throw away the key, because it's like, put it away.
Do you know what? I've never actually looked at it like this, but you're actually right. Men have got nipples,
yeah,
like pecs. Women have got breasts. Why is it? Yeah, do you know, this has just clicked on me. We've both got the same. We've both got lady bits. Okay, I mean, not both
so
lady bits.
I'm confused.
We both got bits.
That's a relief.
And we both got a chest with nipples. Yeah. So why is it more offensive for women to show their nipple and not a man? That is quite a point.
Because I think because in women the breast tissue develops as part of a woman, whereas in a man it doesn't, and it's seen as a sexual part of the body rather than, oh, that's to breastfeed, which is essentially what they are.
What it is it's not the same as your arms are exposed, you know, or your legs or whatever it is. You know, the breasts provoke a sexual response from the majority of men. That's why. And that's what Instagram are worrying about. But I respect these celebrities for fighting against that, because you don't really want a company deciding. It's like the public will decide what's acceptable or not, won't they?
But then these days, they're everywhere. Boobs are everywhere. If I go on holiday, people are topless. It's
true.
Like,
well, you have Page Three.
Yeah, Page Three.
You have that.
It's all on the internet, social media now, magazines when you go into a shop. It's just everywhere. So I just think, come on, Instagram.
Yeah,
if you want to show your puppies, let them show them.
I think what they're saying, what you're saying, is that it's a kind of double standards, really, isn't it? It really is. So, I mean, would you participate in a campaign like Free the Nipple, Katie?
Yeah, I would love to get my boobs out again. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that after this baby, I am going to have the best body I've ever had in my life. That good that I would show my whole body naked again.
Because you do want to do another
Playboy shoot,
don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you do one at 60? Would you do one at 70?
Well, I don't think it would be that attractive. But I know beneath all this, my body, for what I've gone through, I would say I've still got a good body. I know I don't look it now because I've got a bump, but I've got no stretch marks. I've got no cellulite. I'm really, really lucky. I am lucky.
You've got a gloriously got pregnant body at the moment.
But I've got good skin and stuff. So
you do.
I am not afraid to show it off to the point where we'll go on to airbrushing in a minute.
See, that's like free the nipple. You have been freeing the nipple for decades now. You're like, you're like the kind of the Pope of the Free the Nipple campaign.
Yes,
you know what I mean? The
I would get them out again. There's always a price for the pricey.
The thing is, though, but I'm only putting your leg about that. But it's
I'm not,
you,
but I would do it.
You've always done it on your own terms, and you control your own image, and that's the key thing.
I would love to do that. Like, imagine getting a picture of my old Page Three shot, and then me, like 20 years on, which it will be,
still
doing Page Three pose again. Why not?
I think the sun would be all over that. Like
I would do it as
they
well.
They would bite your hand off of that. Maybe when you turn the big 4-0, that would be the thing to
do.
Yeah,
that's ages away.
Exactly. That's at least 7 or 8 years. Now.
4 years.
Rihanna. Rihanna, she went to the World Cup. I'm having to get used to this, Caroline, of all these American celebrities at sporting events, because we had it with Wimbledon, didn't we?
Where
they all turned Bradley Cooper and all these guys. And but now the World Cup's won. And the Americans have always said they hate soccer. They're not interested in it. They think it's boring. But there was a stampede of major American stars at the World Cup final. And Rihanna seems to have been completely selfied herself to death.
I don't know if it's because we always think of Rihanna being American, but because she's from Barbados, and I think football's much bigger in the Caribbean than it is in the States. So she was supporting Germany and went all out, pulling her top up.
Well, tell us, what did she do? Did she actually free the nipple herself?
No, she had, did have a, I think it was a leather bra on, but she pulled her shirt up to flash the team in celebration.
Yeah, and she's been, she's pictured, she's been, because I think it was the Sun today running a lot of stuff about how, you know, she's really, really used it as a big platform. Actually, it's in the Mail, and it's on page 3, and it says, Rihanna, the real World Cup winner, pop star takes the trophy for most shameless self-publicist. First of all, she's pictured holding the World Cup and being kissed on each cheek by two of the football players that won the World Cup, Germany's Podolski and Schweinsteiger. And then she's kind of revealed her leather bra there in front of the crowd. Pictured with Jamie Oliver, Germany's match winner Mario Götze, and of course next to Brazilian football legend Pelé. What's she doing? What's this about, do you think? What's happening?
Maybe she just likes football.
Do you think?
No. I think it's a world stage that, I mean, I can't imagine she's that big of a football fan, and especially the German team, how she just decided to get involved. But she looks like she's having a good time, so maybe she's gone along. Well, that's where the party's at. She, I think she's always taken part on things like, you know, Brazilian, like the parades and everything else. Yeah. So maybe she just thought she'd go and have a good time and
Katie,
thought Germany are going to win.
I think you're a bit above this. It doesn't strike me as very classy.
I'm just trying to work out why she would do it. She hasn't got any writing on her body to, like, say, oh, congratulate or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. No idea. I
but can't do you answer. Think she's doing it for? Do you think she's doing it for publicity, or do you think she's just having a good time and enjoying her position of privilege?
I think she's having a good time because she doesn't really need publicity. No. She's like, she's self-made. You know, yeah. Everyone's seen her body. It's not like we're going to be, oh my God, look, we can actually see her boobs in her butt. We've seen it all anyway.
If that was Taylor Swift, we'd be shocked. But it's Rihanna.
Yes,
we've seen it.
Exactly.
Does she, could she not really do any wrong? Is that the thing? Is she so sort of honest and genuine and out there that she can't really go wrong with what she does?
I just think she's a very sexy lady.
She is.
And we've all seen her body. So, yeah, like you said, if that was Taylor Swift or someone, I'd be more shocked. Mm. But Rihanna, it's like we've seen it all before.
Who's she in a relationship with? Who's her other half?
No idea.
Is she single?
I believe she was dating Drake. And then Drake was back in the studio with her ex, Chris Brown. Oh, so no. I don't think... I think a lot of it was said she was doing all that because her exes were in the studio together. So I'm not sure if she's actually linked to anyone at the moment.
Now, the other one, which is very interesting, the real Mariah Carey revealed, see what the singer looked like before airbrush sprayed away her imperfections. She's one of Tinseltown's most impeccably groomed stars with hair and makeup team at her beck and call. But it seems even Mariah Carey isn't quite up to snuff, at least when it comes to society's rigid standards of beauty, because Jezebel has published before and after Photoshop pictures of the 44-year-old from a Wonderland magazine shoot by Terry Richardson.
Do you know, I feel sorry. For one, I've done a shoot with Terry Richardson, and two, I also done the cover of Wonderland magazine. But this is the trouble these days. If I'm going to do a shoot with a magazine, I'm quite anal about what photographer I use now.
Yeah.
Purely because of this. I think this is so out of order that you're trusting your pictures to be taken.
Yeah.
And
then someone's going public.
And then someone's showing the before and after. I think that's so unfair. I just don't agree with it.
Well,
but
it
if
is.
You actually look at the before and after, they're different, but they're not that much different.
They're
a bit of tucking.
It's not
but
cheeky.
But I just think it's out of order. I really do.
Well, yeah, I mean, what do you think, Caroline?
You're trusting them to take a picture, yeah. And you've got the raw pictures. So they go out airbrushed and you're like, oh, yeah, that's my pictures. And then the next day you have to read about, oh, but this is what she really looked like. It's like, this is cruel.
I think there's two things, though, with Mariah. She, her album cover, she was photoshopped.
That was the lengthening of the legs and stuff.
Yeah,
that was it. Was a big difference.
I mean, she looked completely different to how she looked in every pap shot in reality.
Yeah.
So it's kind of strange because you think, well, if you're going to do it, go to such an extreme of, but acknowledge you're doing it, whereas she's done it. I don't know. But the other point is, like, working with Terry Richardson, who's like the most controversial photographer out there at the moment. So
why is he controversial?
There's been a lot of allegations.
Oh, okay. Which we won't go there. So more about him than his work.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, okay, here's what I think. I think that it's okay for Mariah Carey to be photoshopped, and here's why. I mean, obviously, Katie, you're very unhappy that it's come out, but let's just look at the ethics of Photoshop and the whole point about Mariah Carey. She's a pop superstar. She doesn't go and do interviews going, oh, I'm just a normal woman and I just wear a dressing gown at home. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do all that, what I would describe as bullshit. She's a star, and we know that she does everything to make herself look as good as possible. She's had plastic surgery. She looks pretty impressive for 44. And I, in a way, you're not surprised. I think it was much more damaging when it happened allegedly to Kate Winslet. Because when I think Kate Winslet was on the front cover, it's a few years ago, but she was one of the big fashion magazines, Vogue or one of the others. And it was alleged that she'd been very much airbrushed.
Did she hit out herself, though?
I think she complained about it. You're right. And I think that was damaging because
no,
she's...
No, that's been good press, that is, that she did that.
Well, what you got with someone like Kate Winslet is somebody who's always going on about how normal they are and how imperfect their body is and becoming a role model for, like... You can't then go and be airbrushed. Whereas I think with Mariah, you're like, come on, it's just showbiz, isn't it?
The thing is, like, in OK magazine today, my friend Danielle Lloyd, I was just flicking through it, and she's done a shoot for them, which clearly is not airbrushed one little bit to the point. You can see freckles on her. And it stands out that it hasn't been airbrushed because so many things are airbrushed up to the eyeballs these days. I think it's good that she's done that shoot and hasn't been airbrushed. You can still see she's got a fantastic body. You know, I can't even fault her body, and it hasn't been airbrushed. So you don't really need to be airbrushed. I would definitely do a shoot without being airbrushed. Well, but because everyone else does it, you know, I want to be airbrushed because everyone else does.
Freckles not allowed? Is that freckles the new thing?
No, freckles fine. Oh. I don't understand why you take
But you know
out.
What I mean. Some people nowadays, it's so extreme airbrushing that young girls will look at these magazines and think, I want to be like them. But they're not really like that. They're airbrushed.
They look like cartoon characters. I think there's nothing wrong with a little bit of airbrushing if it's a case of removing
but
a spot.
But why do we airbrush? Why do we really airbrush? What, for what reason? Because it wasn't about years ago when I started modelling. So why are we airbrushed?
Yeah, well, now, what's your take on it? What do you
I
allow?
Love being airbrushed because, you know, I think it can make you look amazing.
So they can do what, as far as you're concerned, they can do whatever they like as long as you're happy with the results.
It's good, but then you don't want to be airbrushed that much that when people meet you, they're like, bloody hell, you don't look nothing like your pictures. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You can be over the top with it. But I have absolute no idea why people airbrush their pictures. Maybe one week all magazines should do shoots with people and not airbrush them, and let's see really what our shapes and bumps and blemishes are like.
That's something that we really try and limit it now.
Ring flash is good to use.
Because, yeah, it's a whole, you know,
what is ring flash?
Lighting.
It's lighting, like it's old school. Jeannie Savage, I used to use it with Daily Star. Just like a bright ring flash, it just brightens everything out, but you still see your real curves and stuff. Yeah.
I think it is dangerous when we've done a lot of shoots not airbrushed, and I think it's dangerous to do it too much when, especially when it's girls and they're role models and you're kind of, you know, slicing off curves. And a lot of advertising get caught out where you've got like,
oh,
there's a
so
random arm
yeah.
or,
yeah,
you know, there's like half a thigh. And I mean, but but then on the other hand, how many of us take Instagram pictures and put it through three filters
fan of it. I love airbrushing because you look so good when it's airbrushed. It's when you really look and you're like, oh shit. But if you have good lighting, if a photographer has good lighting, you don't need to be airbrushed.
No.
I mean, obviously the problem with Mariah Carey being airbrushed is that, and retouched and all the rest of it, because they've got details here. It's funny that the actual dress had a tear in it, so they've fixed the tear. That's obviously just the fabric. Waist pulled in, volume added to hair, jawline thinned, creases on neck removed, underarm crease removed, leg defined and stretch marks removed. I suppose the only problem with it is that a regular female who buys that magazine, she probably feels bad about herself, like she's doing something wrong, that she can't look like that. And it's like, actually, it's impossible to look like that age 44. How can you have kids and not have stretch marks?
Yeah, no, you're true.
So unrealistic expectations.
There's one model out there, and, you know, I'm not saying it's actually true. You can see it, Kelly Brook. Now, she's not, like, she's a curvy girl. And if you look at her pictures now, she is a curvy girl. But then when you see her swimwear campaign and that, her body's completely different. And surely the public aren't fooled that much. All right, you can airbrush, but not, like, double your size smaller.
I think that's the thing with the Mariah Carey pictures. I've got nothing against airbrushing out a spot. No one, you know, or something like that. Or if,
but if you're
a strand,
too different.
Yeah, but don't shave inches off someone's waist or thigh.
Well, what do you think about Kelly doing that? How does that?
Well, I don't know if you know, I'm not having a pop at Kelly because I think she's one of the most beautiful women out there.
Yeah.
But if you look at her press pictures, like now recent ones, she does look quite curvy. No, she does. And she's always in the gym, and I don't understand why, because she's looking bigger than she normally did.
It's the snack bars. We talked about it last week.
When you look at her campaign pictures, her body looks amazing, but it's airbrushed. And I think it's fooling the consumer.
Well, I think that's the danger in, like I was saying, with advertising, with when the images are... It's not about airbrushing, it's manipulation.
Yeah.
If you're manipulating the image,
why can't she show her real body off? You know, when these celebs do press calls, you know, like myself, I do lots of press calls, and when you do press calls, you're not airbrushed. And I'm quite happy, and I've done it for many years, standing there in my underwear when I've got my underwear campaign or whatever to do. I actually stand there in my underwear, and they're not airbrushed because they're press calls. So why don't people like Kelly Brook and I don't know who else has got underwear and stuff, stand there themselves in their underwear and show what they really look like?
Yeah, because I think what I like about Kelly Brook and what's marvellous about her is that she's a good role model in that she's a real woman with a real body.
Exactly, so show it.
Yeah, and give people inspiration that
that's
you can look
like that.
That's
what I mean, because she's stunning. She's a beautiful-looking woman.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
And she's got curves, so don't hide it, show it.
What do we think about her relationship with an ex-gladiator, by the way? I'm worried.
Well,
I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I'm just worried. That's all I'm going to say. Tornado, is that
okay,
what it's called?
Okay, let me just say what I think. I don't think they'll last.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong. I hope they do.
Good luck to them, obviously. And I'm sure he's a really, really nice guy.
I've met him once or a couple of times.
And?
Well, I don't really know him well, but you know, if she
great body.
Thinks
is he
it's
attractive?
Right,
is he a good
but
guy?
But you know, this is the thing. It's not about bodies for me. I'm sick. Anyone can have a good body. It means absolute shit to me now. It's more about inside. You know, it is. At the end of the day, I can meet someone and they might not be so fit, but they can go to the gym and be fit. It's not just about the body. It's really not. I'm not just going to go out with someone just because they've got a fit body.
Well, we wished them every happiness, but she has not got the best track record romantically. That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, she can join my club then.
Absolutely right. It's Fubar Radio, 11:53. I've got more emails and tweets to get through. What do you guys think about airbrushing? Is it acceptable? Is it not acceptable? Is it just showbiz? When you see a picture on the front of a magazine, do you just accept now? Do you take it with a pinch of salt? You know it's not real. Or do you believe it's real and feel quite let down when you find out it's not the truth? At Fubar Radio, let us know what you think about that. Quick text from Justin Brett, who said, and it starts very shockingly, never really liked Katie Price until I heard her on Mark Dolan's show on Fubar Radio.
Oh, thank you.
Changed my mind about her now. And so, you know what I mean? You're just winning hearts and minds.
Wow,
Katie
if
Price.
My reality show comes off again, well, hey, they'll get to see the real me again.
Boom, that's what we're talking about. It's Fubar Radio. Last delicious, succulent chunk of Caroline Millington showbiz gossip coming up after the White Stripes, Black Math. The White Stripes and Black Math on Fubar Radio. Caroline Millington from Now Magazine, the must-read showbiz celebrity weekly, the printed home of Katie Price, Katie's column every single week in Now Magazine.
That's right.
What's a kind of big fat story coming our way, do you reckon, in the next few days?
Sorry. I'm stuck in my throat.
Katie's column's out today, so I think there'll be lots to see in next week's issue with Kate as well.
And this weekend, this got watch out and stuff.
Hello. Controversial. The big thing that we're talking about in the Now office is it's little Prince George's first birthday next week.
Oh, bless.
So I have put together a very special issue celebrating all things Prince George, which is on sale today.
That is fantastic. It looks fantastic. It's a must read. He's a very cute little creature, isn't
he? I'll do a little picture holding the mag up for you.
Oh, thank you. It's very cute.
I was doing a gig the other day. I was doing a show and one of the other comedians described him as a fat baby, which I thought was a bit harsh.
What? You don't want skinny babies, do
healthy.
You?
Exactly. Healthy. I mean, not as cute as Jet, but he's getting there. That's the real... That's real royalty, little Jet.
Actually, I'll give you a little exclusive about what... I had a scan And they said in all the years they've done a scan, they've never, ever, ever seen such long eyelashes on a baby.
No.
What they saw on mine.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. But Princess has got long ones now.
Yeah.
But obviously,
and they showed us and you can see the eyelashes. And I've never seen that. And they said they've never seen that. So I've got visions of this baby coming out with like Tweety pie eyes.
That is awesome.
Long eyelashes.
Like mother, like daughter. Caroline Millington, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We can't wait for the next instalment. And good luck with the Prince George special.
Thank you.
We'll be all over that like a rash. It's FUBAR Radio. After this, we're going to talk teeth with the world's greatest dentist.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
Now we've got breaking news on FUBAR Radio. Katie Price, tell us what's happened. Have you just, has your water broken?
Not mine, but what I can tell you is I've just had a picture sent through. Three baby ducks have been born and there's more hatching as we speak.
Fantastic.
I'm going to put the picture on Twitter now.
Now, are these are actually your ducks. These are not wild ducks.
No, I've just had a text saying three baby ducks so far have just been born.
I'm thinking that there needs to be an update to, do you remember that show from the 80s, All Creatures Great and Small? Yeah, and I think we want a new one. Or maybe it's Katie's Animal Hospital.
Honestly, my house with animals, it's growing.
I think that's why, because Rolf Harris is not available anymore for any of those formats, is he? Katie
exactly.
Price, there's a gap in the market.
And I need a new baby French bulldog, a female one.
I do like it, though. Katie Price's World of Animals, I'm feeling that. And do you know what? There are so many formats floating around that have got to happen.
I know.
Now, I'll tell you what's got to happen at 12:08 on FUBAR Radio. Thank you very much for listening. The UK's largest ad-free, unregulated radio network and the home of Katie Price. Until 1 o'clock, we're going to go teeth now. We're going to go toothy grin because we're joined in the studio by the world's greatest dental hygienist. This is the dental hygienist to the stars. It's Christina Chatfield. Welcome to FUBAR.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I'm pleased to say that you've got a beautiful set of gnashes yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Have you look after them?
You kind of have to. If you're a dental hygienist, if you've got a dental hygienist who smiles at you and they've all got like a black tooth and all decay, and they wouldn't inspire much confidence, would it?
No, they wouldn't. So they look good and they have to smell good as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. So, I mean, there is a whole world of where we start. But how long have you been Katie Price's dental hygienist?
Just for about 2 years now. I saw Katie through her first pregnancy and we're working our way through a second pregnancy.
And it's always a bloody experience, literally, because when you're pregnant, your gums bleed
all
the time.
I was going to ask you about that. Tell me about the pregnancy thing. Does it affect your teeth?
Yes, it does. It especially affects your gums. It's all down to your immune system, really. So
right.
Katie could have the same amount of bacteria, because that's what it is, the same amount of bugs in her mouth when she's pregnant or when she's not, and her body would react more to it when she's pregnant. She's not far off it by saying it is a bit of a bloody mess when we go in there and clean them at the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
But well, I haven't got bad breath. I shouldn't do. I go in weekly.
Also, do women's teeth change when they go into their 30s and into their 40s? Is that a factor too?
Well, it depends on how you look after them, really. Your teeth don't need to change, but as we get older, our teeth discolour. We can lose bone that supports our teeth. So I suppose the whole environment of our mouth changes as we get older.
Yeah, for sure. So did you always want to be a dental hygienist? Because it's a hard job, isn't it?
No, it's funny talking about the ducks. I wanted to be a vet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See? And like an animal dental hygienist?
Well, no, I wanted
full
to be
a veterinary.
I wanted to be a vet, but I have actually managed to do a dog's teeth in my lifetime.
Well, I was wondering about because actually canine dental hygiene is quite an issue, isn't it? A lot of dogs these days are given so much rubbish that they actually get tooth decay, don't they?
Yeah, they get tooth decay and bad breath. I don't know how many people actually clean their pets' teeth. So,
are you supposed to clean your pets' teeth?
It would be nice to clean your pets' teeth, which is why there's so much dry food on the market, isn't it? So if you give your dog drier food, it's going to be better for their gums and their teeth.
Oh, really? Ah, I see. But I heard, is it not true that animals are less prone to dental, like tooth decay, because animal saliva is less complex and has fewer bacteria in it than our teeth, which is why a bite from a dog is less dangerous than a bite from a human. Is that true?
Oh, we spoke about this
the other day. I said that to you the other day, didn't I?
Because that's what they say, that a bite from a human is really, really dangerous.
That's what I said to you, didn't I?
Well, I suppose it's because we can harbour lots of infection. I'm not really 100% sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose a bite from a rabid dog would be quite dangerous.
Yeah. But anyway, dogs and their teeth are not your concern.
No.
It's the world of dental hygiene. Do you get Do you get clients who come in and their mouths are just disgusting, like they clearly haven't brushed their teeth in weeks? Do you get that kind of really remedial work rather than...
we do. And we've had somebody in that hadn't brushed their teeth in 15 years. So
but
you're
how?
Kidding me.
Their breath must stink.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. What was it like? What were they like? Obviously, I don't expect you to name names, but what were they like?
There was loads of... when we brush our teeth, we brush soft bacteria away, and there's millions of bacteria in our mouth.
Yeah.
And we grow them immediately you start brushing them. But what happens over time is they turn hard. So you know that it's called calculus. We say it looks like the scale on the inside of a kettle, but it's a lot thicker.
Yeah.
It can be black. And it can... So it just built up and built up over time. Surprisingly, he didn't have many problems underneath it because his immune reaction was a lot less than somebody else's could have been.
Is there a protective element where all that rubbish is on your tooth and goes hard? Does it kind of protect the enamel or something?
No, well, it won't. In some people, it's as I say, it's going to be down to what you eat, how you look after them, and your own body's immune system.
So this dude, he had an inch.
He had an inch of fur,
like plaque. Is it plaque? Is that what it is?
Plaque's the soft stuff, and calculus is the hard stuff.
Right, and when so hardcore people get the calculus.
Everybody can get calculus. Even people that clean their teeth really, really well can get calculus from the lower front teeth especially.
And is it a calcium buildup? Is it actually calcium?
No, it's a mineral. It's a saliva and bacterial buildup.
And is it worse for your teeth? I mean, you said it depends on each person's sort of immune system. But is it a more developed, worse form of plaque? Or is it a variant of plaque? Or is it different?
It's a calcified form of plaque. Plaque's
right.
The most damaging.
Right.
Plaque's the sort of live, moving...
Yeah. And that's actually easier to get rid of with a brush.
Yeah. It's called plaque.
Would you say electric brush or normal brush?
I'd say electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
And that's because many people, when they brush their teeth manually, the average brushing time is about 46 seconds. They're 46-second scrubbers, most people, when they brush their teeth. And if you think you've got 32 teeth in your mouth, how long are you actually spending on one tooth with the millions of bacteria that are on there? So an electric toothbrush is improved technique, which we don't develop as children and we struggle into adulthood with.
And also, you've just done this long walk. Explain what you've done for charity.
Yeah, I've just walked 500 miles.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. We could have got you a cab, you know.
Exactly.
I just tagged that onto the end of my walk today.
Yeah, good.
No, I walked from Scotland all the way down to Brighton to raise awareness for mouth cancer.
Right, brilliant. What a great cause. Well done you. How prevalent is mouth cancer in this country?
Well, mouth cancer kills more people than testicular cervical cancer put
and
together.
I never knew that, did you?
No, I had no idea.
No.
And what do we... I mean, I know that cancer is still a bit of a mystery as to what causes it, but any particular trigger factors for mouth cancer?
Yeah, mouth cancer in the past, smoking and drinking is still one of the, you know, still one of the biggest trigger factors for mouth cancer.
Smoking I can see now, especially cigar smokers. Would that be right?
Any form of smoking. And you combine it with alcohol and it changes what they call the permeability of your soft tissues.
Right.
So it allows the carcinogens in. But what we're seeing is a growing mouth cancer epidemic. And I hate to use the words epidemic because that's quite frightening. But where we're seeing an increase in mouth cancer is with the relationship to HPV, which is the human papillomavirus, which we know is related to cervical cancer.
Right. Now, tell us a bit more about that. So how do you get this virus in your mouth? Is it oral sex?
Yeah, I had a lady the other day in surgery when I was talking to her about it. She whispered and she goes, "That's about oral sex, isn't it?"
Mm.
Our
sexual behaviours have changed since the 80s. You know, if we think about...
No one went down in the 80s, right?
Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
But we are...
Isn't that what he suffered?
Well, that's
though,
right. He said he thinks
was
that may have been...
Was it the mouth or the throat? Throat, yeah.
Right. But he thinks it may have been a factor...
So it's HPV, and we know HPV is related to cervical cancer. It's the same virus, and it's on the increase in both girls and boys.
And is that a problem in, like, monogamous long-term relationships? Or is this virus, is it to do with, is it like the HIV virus, is it, and also chlamydia, STD? Is it like an STD-related and lifestyle-related, or is it just naturally in the cervix?
No, it's a lifestyle thing. But to say it's about sexual promiscuity is wrong, because you can... 50% of the population will have HPV and will already have it. If we're in this room, we could say 1.5 of us have either got it, it's lying dormant, and you and I or Katie might not develop any symptoms to it.
Yeah.
And it's the symptoms that we develop and how our immune response responds to it. It's like anything else. So you can have one sexual partner who's had one other who can transfer it, or you can have six transsexual partners.
You raise an interesting question about sex, which is are people expected to go down on their partner more than they did, say, 3 decades ago? Is that basically what you're saying? Is it more?
Well, Christina does it more now than what she used to.
That's an exclusive. But he has to brush his teeth first.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're seeing, if you look back to the 80s and we talk about HIV and hepatitis, you know, everybody's sexual behaviour changed.
Yeah.
But, and then people don't like to talk about oral sex, and they don't, you know, they're under the current vaccination program for girls, they're vaccinated at 10 to 12. In the UK, we only have an 80% uptake because parents are frightened. Some parents think that if they encourage vaccination, they're encouraging sexual promiscuity in their children. But actually, at the age of 14 to 16, 17, they're going to practice oral sex. It's called foreplay for a lot of people, but they're going to do it. You can't stop them doing it, but you can protect them against it.
Right, less of the sex chat for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to talk about veneers.
Come on then.
Okay.
Obviously, I've got veneers and I needed them because I cracked my tooth when I was younger and blah, blah. I said the story earlier. But there's lots of people out there now who've actually got nice teeth, but they still want to have veneers. Now, what is your view on that? You must get people that come in. And some people think the reason they want veneers is to make their teeth look whiter. Now, I've seen what you've done with your teeth whitening. You can actually get them whitened. What was that stuff that you used?
We use hydrogen peroxide.
And that really did work?
Yeah. You have to, in order to do successful tooth whitening, the owner, and everybody wants to know this because they see all the products in the high street and say, do they really work?
Does that Rembrandt work?
Rembrandt. It won't work. There's not enough.
Right.
The only product that will whiten teeth successfully and efficiently is hydrogen peroxide. It has to be over 3% to be effective.
And you can't buy that on the shops?
No, you can only buy 0.1%.
Now, in fairness to Rembrandt, massively popular product.
No, it is. But what I'm saying, there's so many people that I used to before I had my teeth done would buy toothpaste thinking, oh, my teeth are going to go white. Mm. So I'm saying, is there really a product out there
them white? Because I think Rembrandt, my missus loves it, and it's a product of high quality, really enjoyed
and
by
expensive.
Its customers, and expensive, probably worth the money. But what it's not going to do, and I dare say they don't claim this anyway, it's not going to give you that complete change in tone that you. So you're saying you can only get that complete change with a professional practitioner.
Yeah, but what whitening toothpaste will do, because they're changing all the time, is they will inhibit stain formation.
Mm.
So if you think about the amount of tea and coffee that you drink on a daily basis, that darkens your teeth on the outside, that's where whitening toothpaste can come into their own.
So with veneers, you'll get someone, like I'll use Rylan, for example. See, I think Rylan's good looking anyway, with his teeth.
Oh,
before
yeah.
Before he had his...
Yeah.
He always, when I first met him, he always wanted his teeth done. I couldn't see anything wrong with them. I'm just using him as an example.
Yeah.
And he went and got them all veneered. But to me, he didn't need them doing. What is it in this day and age that so many people have got nice teeth anyway, but they want to go and have veneers?
I think that part of the reason why people want veneers is they want the teeth straighter. And veneers is the quick option.
Or is it because some people's teeth, they might be a bit more triangle, and putting a veneer on it just smooths it off to give it that perfect smile?
Veneers can be. They're less aggressive than crowns, so they can use properly, give that enhanced look to your teeth.
And having veneers, is there still an upkeep? If you lose one, they're expensive. I think you'd probably have to brush them a lot more and different. Am I right or wrong? Only because I've got them myself.
No, that's right. I'm really interested in veneers. First of all, for those that don't know, including me, what exactly is a veneer? Because it's clearly something that sits on top of the original tooth, right?
Well, put it this way. If I didn't have my veneers on, I would look like Peggy.
Okay.
But
good to know. What is a veneer exactly?
It's like a false nail made out of porcelain. And now...
Right, which is the same stuff in posh China, in a cup, like a teacup, porcelain.
So the quality of them can be really nice.
And how do they get it on the tooth? Do they glue it on, or what do they do?
Yeah, and in some cases, some dentists will over-prep a tooth to put a veneer on to bring it into alignment. So what you want, if you're going to use a veneer... You want it to be very thin, because with new veneers now, they can take the veneer off and your old tooth's the same underneath it.
Yeah.
That's what you, if you're going to put a veneer on, or what you should do is just move your teeth into position. And there's a lot of really fast orthodontics now. So instead of having to have 2 years worth of orthodontics, there's loads of fast tracking.
Do you mean braces and stuff?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But usually where the fast track orthodontists work on what they call your smiling six. So they work canine to canine. Mm. They don't move the back teeth at all, but they'll move the teeth into position. Then you whiten eaten them, and then you can bond them.
So when you say move them into a position, that will take like 6 months, a year, 2 years?
Yeah. Well, with fast orthodontics, for the front, and this is the reason it's been developed, because there's so many people had very aggressive smile makeovers. Okay, so they've had all the teeth filed down, all these crowns and veneers put on, which in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, even your 50s isn't such a problem. But let's go forward another 20, 30 years when you're in your 80s.
Yeah. I'll be getting my gums around the plums. Yeah, cool.
I'm fascinated by the veneers. Give me a smile, Katie. Give me maybe a look at big smile. Yeah, I mean, you look amazing. Look a completely perfect smile.
Yeah, but do you know what?
Smile.
These were so expensive. Didn't I tell you? When I was in America, because I watched Extreme Makeovers.
Right.
So I used Gar Fisher to do my boobs and this Dr. Madahari, not the man from The Two Brains. Do you remember that film?
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah,
Steve
not
Martin.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that doctor. It was something like Dr. Madahari. And he was from Extreme Makeovers. So I went there and I wanted them all done, me being me, in a week. $150,000 my bloody teeth cost me.
That's an awful lot of money.
And I would always say to people, I know you're sitting here and you know it's your job, but I would say, if you don't need veneers, don't get them.
Yeah.
I really don't. You can't even...
I would agree.
Honestly, I can't bite an apple. You have to chop it because you haven't
got
the same, like, you know, on your teeth, you've got your own sort of razor on them.
Yeah,
now, with veneers, they're so smooth.
I've got a set of, like, real Luis Suarez, I do.
But you know,
you
like,
don't
they've
want to
got
get
their
on the
own
side of me.
That's what I mean. I can't even bite Sellotape. Because there's no, like, what do you call it, grip on my teeth.
Because
they're all so
smooth.
Yeah.
Well, you're frightened of doing it because you're frightened of them coming off.
Well, because it's so bloody ugly when you lose one.
Have you got the same set that the expensive guy put on? Have you got all
I've lost two at the side, and I used to fly to America to get it fixed.
No, you don't bother that.
No, I've actually lost one underneath here, haven't I? But
yeah.
I'm going to have to wait till after the baby because they need to put me to sleep or sedate me. I'm not doing it awake. I hate dentists now.
Yeah. Is it a painful process having veneers put on?
Well, they put me to sleep in America, which is why I did it.
They numb your
like
mouth.
Like 6 hours at a time.
It surprises me because should it hurt having veneers put on?
It depends on how much preparation they're doing, and it depends on why you're having it done.
And they do prepare your natural tooth a bit.
Well, yeah, because they have to file it down, and the thing is,
which doesn't sound good.
It's the nerve of the teeth. Ooh, if they catch it.
If they yeah. over prep a tooth, so if they take,
oh, yeah.
that's why you. If you're going to have veneers done, I like veneers in some cases. If you're going to have veneers done, you need to make sure that you're getting them done by somebody who knows exactly
what
they're doing.
Oh God, yeah.
Katie does like ice cubes, so she does try
I
and
do at the minute. I'm having trouble with the side of my teeth at the minute.
Does Katie have to get your quality of life back and be able to bite into things again?
It won't happen.
Is there an alternative for Katie than veneers?
What? Not well. You can't put the teeth back.
Yeah.
You can't put the teeth back.
Like if you took your veneers off, you just don't like your natural teeth.
Well, they look like pigs now. Anyone who's got veneers,
is that because they've been shaved down and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still my tooth underneath.
Yeah.
But they're shaving down.
It doesn't look right.
So the, what do you call it? So the veneer
the enamel?
Can stick on.
Yeah. Is it to smooth it out so it fits on? Is it also to create a rough surface as well?
Yeah, so it depends on the position of the tooth. So if the tooth sits if your teeth sits slightly out the dental arch, then they're going to make that veneer bigger. Or if your teeth sits forward of the dental arch to make a veneer look nice, they're going to file it down and make it look
smaller.
But
what some people do, they get veneers and they look too big for their mouth. There's lots of people out there who have had veneers done, and just looks ridiculous.
Well, that's Katie's advice. Only have it done if you really feel cosmetically that it's necessary.
I didn't do it for cosmetics because I fell off the skateboard and cracked my teeth.
You've got a good excuse. And I guess it's only the smiling teeth, right? It's not none of the teeth at the back.
No,
of
I mean, I ended up doing the ones at the back because when you laugh and you tip your head back, the last thing you want is like the front six glowing white and then yellow at the back. So I only had them all done so they all match.
So you can't bite into an apple.
Well, you can.
Hamburgers and things
I
like
mean,
that?
Yeah, you can bite into
but you're
them,
just careful.
But you
yes.
just have to be careful.
How long does a veneer stay on before needing upkeep and re-glued or something?
It depends. They can stay on for 10, 15 years.
Right.
It depends. But if you're going to eat ice cubes, they might pop off.
Okay. Good to
know.
Well, look, what are your questions for the fabulous Christina Chatfield, the world's greatest dental hygienist? Dental hygienists are the stars. What do you want to know? That
She's
will help
from Brighton
you with regard
as well.
To your teeth. We're going to get into so much of that. And also, we've just got some very nice tweets and emails coming in. Brooke Foster said, loving Katie Price on FUBAR Radio. She says it how it is. Lovely lady. I love her. I don't know why she gets so much stick. Cara said, "Ooh, grim show this morning," and has quoted, "We had someone in who hadn't brushed their teeth in 15 years yet, hashtag dentistry." It is a grim statistic. That person, when they were finished and they came out, were they walking on cloud nine and just thanking you for a miracle? Because my teeth are pretty clean, but whenever I go to dental hygiene, I feel so great afterwards.
Oh, I love it.
And all I can do, this is a bit of a weird detail, but I have to keep licking my teeth.
Yeah, it is like that.
How polished they are. And it's the nicest feeling in the world. How was it for that person? Were they hugging you?
No.
But they felt sick with all the blood.
He wasn't. He actually didn't want to come in. His girlfriend brought him in. Right. I mean, he just got used to it.
Imagine kissing
him.
That's
really unusual to get that.
But was he not happy with the results?
He was. You know what? He wanted the spaces filled back in.
No!
Oh, really?
Crazy, because he got used to it. He got so used to it.
He didn't know the difference.
So there you go. We're here to answer your dentistry questions, in particular on the cosmetic side and on the health of your teeth and the cleanliness and all of that stuff. We're going to talk about lots of stuff. We're going to talk about crowns and much, much more.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
We are joined in the studio by Christina Chatfield, a fabulous dental hygienist to the stars. And it's funny because you would think that it might be quite a short conversation, Christina, and you get into how to clean your teeth and how to bleach them and you're done. But no, this is a whole world of like a huge topic. And it's very central to how we're perceived in life is the kind of cleanliness and the quality of our teeth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you can be judged by the colour of your teeth. Even if your teeth are a little bit stained in places, people perceive that as unhealthy.
I've got a couple of famous examples of that. Do you remember when he was in power, how dodgy Tony Blair's teeth were?
Oh, I don't think I ever looked
at
them.
There was one bit, right, I'm going to ask producer Talia to Google images, some pictures of, just Google Tony Blair teeth, and that'll do it. And he used to have one, for a while, he had one single brown tooth on his lower jaw. I don't know what the hell that
might
was.
Might have had nerve damage.
Or that tooth could be sitting slightly out the dental arch. So it's just, you know, it does sit like a gravestone slightly further back, which means it picks up stain more. And that can be all it is because the toothbrush bristles don't reach at the same.
Yeah. Now, we are getting the hang of having clean white teeth in this country. But the Americans, if they want to do jokes about the Brits, they do jokes about our teeth and about how we have bad teeth. Because in America, it's just not acceptable to have, like, filthy teeth or a discoloured teeth, is it? Culturally, it's a big deal in America to have the perfect smile. And we're only slowly cottoning onto that here, I think.
Well, we just have to look at the state of the nation of our children's teeth at the moment. The press that came out recently, yesterday, in fact, I think, talking about the reason a child under the age of 5 has a general anaesthetic is for their teeth.
Oh, yeah, well, look, that's not the best example. I've just called it up with Tony Blair's tooth. But for a while, it went very dark brown, that little lower one, and it was just disgusting
How
for a world leader.
How did you notice that?
I'm obsessed.
Well, actually, because you would, because if he was smiling, that tooth, that's what I mean, sitting back out the dental arch, that's probably quite clean. But that could be, if you drank red wine or coffee, that could be black. And then when you smile, that's all you
so
see.
So with his teeth there, looking at his teeth, what would you do? Would veneers sort that out, or do you need to brace them veneers?
No, you probably wouldn't even need veneers. This is you'd move those teeth into position.
Right.
You'd probably, if you wanted them whiter, you'd whiten them. And then you just look after them.
Train tracks. He'd have to have the train tracks, would he?
Yeah, but train tracks, if it's back teeth don't need moving, they could probably do that in 4 to 6 months with braces.
Is that the fast
yeah.
So that seems ages to wait, doesn't
and
it?
And also he's got a bad chip on his upper tooth as well.
And that looks worse because that upper left tooth, because that's his left tooth, is slightly angled up. So if they moved that down, that chip wouldn't look so big. And without doing anything more than just filing that a little bit, that you could change that.
I had a very annoying problem, which is that I had one of my molars. I had some tooth decay, which was no problem. So they cleaned it out and they filled it. But then I had pain for months. And they did an x-ray and they said, oh, you've got very high nerves. So my nerves go quite close to the surface of the tooth. So just by cleaning it out, filling it, it was too. So I had to have full root canal.
Yeah. I've had
just
loads of that.
Just because of a long nerve. And they said, look, your tooth is 100% healthy and it's just a shame about the nerve thing. Otherwise, you'd be fine. Some people have got quite short nerves in their teeth, haven't they?
And it's likely that that would have needed root treating at some point. It's just by you hadn't felt it at that point until they took the decay out. And that can be, and that's one of the hardest things when somebody goes to the dentist and they have a filling done, quite a normal average filling, and it doesn't settle down, and then they end up needing root canal.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to think, well, the dentist has done something wrong, but quite clearly, if you've got a hole, it's only going to get bigger if you don't have it treated. If it gets too big, it's going to interfere with the nerve.
Now, go on, Katie.
If people want to see a hygienist, you know, not a lot of people can afford to go to the dentist. And obviously you get NHS dentists. So say there's some people who do need to see a hygienist but can't afford it. Does the NHS, is there such thing that they can go to a dentist and get them cleaned to help?
Under the NHS, if it's clinically needed, then you should be able to get your teeth cleaned by a dentist or a hygienist.
But what state do they have to be in?
It's hard to prove that, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's clinic, when they say clinically, so, you know, if you've got staining on your teeth now and if you've got tartar on your front teeth that your body doesn't react to, they would say that that's not clinically needed. So they could ignore it.
Yeah. So what is clinically?
You know what, Katie? You've raised a really good point there, which is that probably it would save NHS would save a lot of money
if they could see a hygienist.
If the dental hygienist was free. Because what happens is they don't come and see you twice a year and their teeth just get more and more decayed and then the dentist has got to sort it out. But don't you think that actually they would save money if there was more dental hygiene?
I think at the end of the day, both tooth decay and gum disease are both preventable. And we know that. And we've known that for 40 years. We've known that all our life. They're the easiest things to prevent. But we don't have an NHS, unfortunately, that I believe is focused on prevention. It's focused on treatment.
Well, with the NHS, to have a fill-in or something would take half an hour, 45 minutes on an adult. Now, if they saw the hygienist on the NHS, it's 15 minutes for a quick whiz around your mouth.
Correct.
So it would save time and save money.
I agree with you. And whenever you go to dental hygienist, you feel motivated to keep your teeth clean then, and you're always good for a month or two.
So I would be good at a politician.
Well, I think you've nailed it. I think we've sorted out your manifesto is already for cleaner teeth for Britain. Now let's go to line three. Gareth in Cardiff, which is one of my favourite UK cities. Gareth, welcome to FUBAR.
Hello, you okay?
Listen, very well. Tell Christina Chatfield what your question is about your lovely pearly whites.
Basically, when I was younger, I had braces. When I was 16 then, I had to break off. I whacked the nails in the front of my turf, so I had a discoloured turf. and then I went to the dentist and I had to have a veneer, like they tried bleaching it on that. Then I had a veneer on top of, like, the discoloured turf, so I had my, like, turf shaved down and all that. But, like, as I've gotten older now, you can see, like, the root of the discoloured turf, and, like, my teeth are quite white, and I've got, like, a brown root. Not a brown, like, it's, like, a dark grey.
Yeah, that's the edge
I've got the same.
That's the edge of the veneer. The gums have receded slightly, and it will be down to the type of veneer that they put on. So if your tooth was quite dark underneath it, sometimes veneers are just made of porcelain. Sometimes some of them have got a little backing on them. And that's what that is.
I'm looking at a picture, right? It doesn't look too bad.
Your teeth look really good. Are they all veneers or are they your own?
No, he's just got one veneer, doesn't he?
No. Just the one's my veneer, because I have my teeth whitened, like, to try and get rid of it.
You've got teeth.
And very healthy gums.
Thank you. I got, like, no fillings or nothing. It's just that really bothers me, because my teeth are quite big, and, like, when I smile, I try, like, not to show my gums, if you know what I mean.
You've got good teeth. That's really sad if you're not able to smile, Gareth, because you've got a lovely smile, you've got great natural teeth. Is there anything he can do to rectify this?
So how old's the veneer, Gareth?
I had my veneer when I was, 16, yeah.
How old are you now, dude?
I'm 20 now.
All right, four years.
4 years. You'd need to go and see a good... what you need is a prosthodontist, because you're looking for perfection in that veneer. So you'd need a prosthodontist, I believe, would meet your expectations for the quality of what you're looking for at the end of the day. And a prosthodontist is a dentist who's gone on and done a degree in aesthetics. So he'd be able to help you with that.
All I would say to you, and Katie is the most image-conscious person out there, aren't you, Katie? And I think he should be very proud of his teeth.
I would be really proud of them.
And also, when you smile...
Good gnashes.
Unless you're angry with someone, like they've just spilt your pint, okay? I think that mostly when you smile, your upper lip covers a good percentage of the tooth where you've got the discoloration anyway, don't you think?
Some people have a very high smile line, so it depends on how he smiles.
How high is your smile line, dude?
Well, it depends how happy I am.
Well, look, good luck with it. But
you can actually see it. But Mark, do you know my name? It's Gareth McDonough.
Oh, and that's a lovely...
McDonough.
Oh, my God, I'm in so much trouble.
You're such a McDonough, Mark.
I'm a McDonough. So your name is McDonough.
McDonough is Irish.
Do you know what? And as a fellow Irishman, Dolan is an Irish name. I really ought to know better. But I've considered my wrist to be firmly slapped, Mr. McDonough. And have a great day and keep smiling.
And lovely to have you on the show.
Well done, Gareth, and good luck getting that sorted. I wanted to ask you before we go. We're fast running out of time. Amazing, fantastic chat. I want to ask you about fillings. I've read a lot of stuff about how the classic filling, which is it called a mercury amalgam?
It's amalgam.
Amalgam.
Made out, yes.
And there's mercury in there. Yeah. It's a mix of substances. It's very hard. It's very reliable, very durable, isn't it? But this debate about, like, my son needed a filling. I felt a great sense of failure as a parent that he needed a filling.
How many has June had? Two.
Hasn't he just had one? I know you felt
that. I think he's got two. And you think that's so young at nine, don't you?
That's exactly.
And he does brush his teeth.
I was gutted. And I just thought, and we brush the teeth twice a week. But I'm really embarrassed to say this. But there's just a rear molar right at the back. And he hadn't been opening his mouth very well. And I think on occasions we were missing this very rear tooth. So anyway, thank you very much, a filling. Well, I feel guilty about it. But there you go. It's happened. And I had this terrible dilemma, which is that the dentist was just about to put the filling in. And I went, oh, I've read that these amalgam fillings are quite toxic because of the mercury in there. And a lot of people are going around and they're having their mercury, their amalgam fillings removed and having a non-mercury filling replaced. Anyway, I had this debate with him. And he said, mate, don't go there. He said, the amalgam filling, it's tried and tested. It could be, that could well stay solid and secure until the rest of his life. With another, if we go for the non-amalgam one, it might fall out after 5 years, 10 years. He said, if it was me, I would have the amalgam. But anyway, amalgam, yay or nay, what do you think?
I have mixed views on it because actually it is strong. Mm. If you get an amalgam put in properly, it doesn't leak and decay. If you put in a white filling and a young child that's not cleaning them properly, then that too slightly to need refilled.
Yeah.
So I think the thing about rushing to take all your... I understand why people do it for aesthetics.
Yeah.
So if people want to have white fillings, and I personally would want a white filling,
yeah,
but I wouldn't be adverse to having an amalgam filling if I couldn't see it.
So an amalgam filling, is that silver?
Yeah, isn't it? It's that silvery grey colour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a silvery grey colour.
But isn't it true, if you have got a filling already, you shouldn't really go back and disturb it and put another one in because then you're asking for trouble?
Especially if you've got a big amalgam filling and you know what you've just said yourself about ending up with a root treatment.
Yeah.
If you replace a really big amalgam filling with a white filling, then you're already interfering with the pulp chamber.
Yeah.
So there's some chance that it could unsettle the tooth.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything in the fact that it leaks into your body? Is it with the amalgam filling, is it mainly just the risk when it's going in and once it's set, you're pretty much fine?
And actually taking them out, you'll release more mercury by taking a load. So if you say you've got a mouthful of 10 amalgam fillings, you're far more at risk for taking them all out. But there are some people with MS and ME that will have their amalgam fillings replaced because they're thinking that they're holistic. Effect on their body.
Yeah, because some people think it contributes to fatigue and MS and ME and all those things. But what you're not sure about that, really.
I don't think anybody's 100% sure on really the effect on the body. And there are people that will take fillings out with amalgam and use high oxygen and high suction. But at the end of the day, amalgam at the moment is one of the strongest. If we're looking at an NHS that has to survive, it's one of the strongest durable. And it's our cheapest option at the moment. And it's not cheap, but it's what we have at the moment. And we've got, with a UK of failing dental of caries, especially in children, then it is what we have. So you shouldn't feel guilty. And what Kate was saying about her son Junior having a filling, and I was there that day Junior got his filling, and Twitter went bananas at you. It was horrible the way she was vilified for it.
Yeah.
She's got two other children that are decay-free.
Yeah.
They look after teeth really well. They're very good in the dental chair. So you can have four children, one ends up with a filling. As long as you're doing everything you can to brush them.
As a parent, I'm always the one who gets the blame out of both of us parents. So.
It's totally unfair. And what about for children? Where do you stand on the... Because you mentioned electric versus regular and you said electric. What about for children? Because my dentist said, oh, don't use the electric on the children. But
After my experience with my eldest having a filling, I'm thinking that those Oral-B ones, which have got a very small head on them, is perfect for a child's mouth. But where do you think about electric on a children's teeth?
I like electric toothbrushes. Don't give an electric toothbrush to a child to brush because they won't do it properly, no. Just like they wouldn't do with a manual toothbrush. Mm. And what you do with an electric toothbrush is you improve on your own technique in that child's mouth. So as long as it's been used effectively, it's a nice small round head, as you say. It fits easily into the mouth. And I think anything that improves brushing, because we have a nation that's got bad oral health, anything that improves brushing is good.
Do they still do, which they should do, all of us should do it, then we know we've cleaned our teeth properly, years ago, a pink tablet they'd put in your mouth and your whole mouth would be pink, and you had to brush it all.
Yeah,
and then
when that
stain's gone, you've brushed your teeth. Don't you think that we should give them to our kids and say,
brilliant,
this is how long you should brush your teeth, and us
brilliant
adults. Do they still do that?
Tablets,
yeah, we've got disclosing buds now, which are really nice because they go two-tone. So they go pink and purple. And so you say to a child, when did you brush your teeth? They're sitting in front of their mums or dads and say, this morning. And you put one of those buds in their mouth and they've got purple.
They're
bugs.
So good. Can
means
you buy them?
Yeah, I'll give you some to take away and try.
That's so interesting.
It's a brilliant idea. And I know, guys, you're listening and not everyone has kids. But I think the reason why you wind up talking
so
much...
Well, it's kids and adults,
well, that's
it.
And the reason why you talk about children so much is because that is the foundation of the health of your teeth, is what happens in childhood, isn't it? Because you've got all of us who have teeth problems, it's normally a consequence of what happened when we were 12 or 11.
Yeah.
Now, before we let you go, we're running fast out of time. Michelle Watson has tweeted in and she has said, I'm having trouble finding a dentist on the NHS that can cope with my severe anxiety. It's called PTSD. My heart races when I go. Great sympathy for you there, Michelle. Very understandable. What can she do?
It's a really hard one because building a relationship with a clinician, whether it's a hygienist or a dentist, is all about trust.
Yeah.
And that's how do you make an informed choice about who you trust? There are lots of dentists and hygienists out there. And I would ask if she's had a bad experience with a dentist, if maybe seeing a hygienist directly, first of all, could encourage her back into dental care. Because there was a change in the law last year that happened on May the 1st that allows people legally the right to see a hygienist without seeing a dentist. And for the huge proportion of people that suffer from dental anxiety, it might be that a softly, softly approach just through teeth cleaning. And I don't want to play down just through teeth cleaning, because there's loads of health benefits in terms of diabetes and heart disease of having your mouth cleaned. But often that's one of the ways that you'll make somebody will feel more comfortable in a dental chair.
Really good luck with that, Michelle. Thanks so much for all of your emails and tweets. Christina Chatfield is a clinical director, hygienist, director, owner of Derma Health Spa. So is that how people can connect with you?
Yeah, it's Dental Health Spa. We have Derma Health Spa and Dental Health Spa.
In Brighton.
And you're the owner of the Dental Health Spa.
Yeah, I'm one of the first hygienists in the UK to set up a dental practice.
See,
that
women in power.
That's what it's all about.
I think that's why Kate and I get on.
Definitely. Listen, I'm going to come and see, especially when I'm in Brighton. I've just eaten a stick of rot.
And you can just walk in and get your teeth cleaned. You don't have to book.
No, you don't need to see a dentist.
It's an absolute no-brainer. We've loved having you. Thank you, Christina. Please do return again, because there's a surplus of questions that we haven't got to. Fascinating stuff, and thanks for joining us on FUBAR.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we are fast running out of time. It's exactly 12:49 on FUBAR Radio. Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird are up next. I think we've got time for a couple more quick stories, and then down to business.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
Well, Katie, that was a great old discussion about teeth, wasn't it?
I know, it was interesting to me, but might have bored some people.
Definitely not. No, we've got a great response, got a few tweets here. First of all, James Layfield has said, love her or loathe her, you've got to admit, Katie Price is great value on FUBAR Radio, hashtag quotes central. Absolutely right. Kate Barlow has said, oh, how cute those baby ducks are. Congratulations, Katie, says Kate. And Kelly Jones said that she got purple tablets for her kids, and they work very well. That's to show the plaque in your teeth. Now, we're joined in the studio by the guys that are the engine room of the next 3 hours of FUBAR Radio, Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird. Welcome
Hello.
Back to your radio home, your habitat on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Now,
feels good.
I need to include you guys in a conversation that and I were about to have, and it's from the Mail Online. Are you brave enough? Thousands of women join the Hairy Legs Club movement, posting photos of unshaven limbs online. And I must say, to the naked eye, there's a picture there of a rather hairy dog. next to a hairy set of pins. It does look like a blokish pair of legs. In fact, it belongs to a lady. Katie, where do you stand on this? Because what
I was confused
about you,
which was the dog. I'm sorry to say, but them hairy legs, it's just even her toes, the stubby little untouched feet. Yeah. It's disgusting. Hairy legs on a woman, personally, for me, well, not that I'm into women, but that is disgusting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of man, doesn't it, Jared, to be attracted to a lady with a hirsute leg?
Said that like he could be that man.
And that's your cue.
Look, I genuinely think each to their own. You know, if you want to have hairy legs, you're going to find a dude who's into hairy legs. That's what's going to happen.
Are you
isn't
into
it?
Hairy legs?
Am I into hairy legs? I prefer my wife to not have hairy legs, but if she if she hasn't shaved her legs or waxed her legs in a while, I don't give a shit.
But when they're long, like pubes, like that, that's disgusting.
Long pube hairs.
Yeah, Andrew Bird, you're very quiet on this subject.
Yeah, I'm just digesting the phrase puby legs.
Pube legs.
If like you've got hairy legs like that, imagine the hair everywhere else. Well,
there'll be a lot of friction.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Katie is talking about the pubic triangle, aren't you, my love?
All of it. It's gross.
Because you don't... There'll be a real bush up there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
quite lucky my wife's fair.
Yeah.
She's fair.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It depends on hair type and stuff, because my wife is fair. Well, so when she's got hairy legs, I don't even notice.
No, me, my wife, gosh, it's like a jungle. Oh, I've not noticed.
Wouldn't actually know. No, things go missing in your life, like your iPhone, and in
keys.
You just rub your
never
hand up a leg,
keys.
You're like, there's
it. Oh, create static, rubber balloon.
There's my laptop. Here's my one. My missus is German. She's a very beautiful lady.
Here we go.
And they don't believe in the razor very much.
But tell the truth. Don't tell me. Each to their own.
I can tell.
Has she really got hairy pits?
No. Since she came in this country, she's been kind of ethnically cleansed out of it.
Did
I don't
you
mind
have
a hairy pit.
Yeah, yeah. She did.
I don't mind a hairy pit.
What,
she went
hairy?
On a lady. Do you know what she had? She probably had about an inch of growth when we
Piss
met.
Piss off.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I thought it was a lady boy at first. I really did.
That's why you married her.
The Germans are a bit more au naturel when it comes to some of these things, and they do. There's pop stars that have been unshaven. Who was it? Was it Halle Berry?
Madonna did it.
Yeah, Madonna did it, of course.
So, but if it doesn't stink. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's Katie's.
If they still
your big
smell
thing
nice.
Is hygiene, isn't it?
Do you know that my worst thing about any area of my body or anyone going near me is if I smell. I'm getting the finger pointed at me through the window, not to say anything. But my point is, I see the hygienist once a week for my tea.
Yeah.
I would hate the fact if anyone said I'd smelt anywhere.
Yeah. You see the hygienist once a week?
I always. Yeah, but then I've got veneers and I just think they need that extra. I hate the thought if I'd ever have bad breath or anything. I'm terrible.
I love the hygienist, though.
I'm not OCD. I'm not one of these OCD clean freaks, but with myself, I think hygiene is a massive thing.
Yeah. I'd do that if I could. I like the hygienist, the feeling after. It's like your teeth have lost
weight. Yeah, it's like 15 minutes, and I just think it makes a difference.
You know what one of the hardest things in life to commit to, other than a relationship, is flossing.
Flossing is
one of the hardest things to commit to, isn't it?
When I go to the dental hygienist, I go straight to Boots, and I spend at least £10 on a variety of flossing solutions.
Yeah, but then you show up with bleeding gums, and they know what you've done.
It's nothing. And every time you promise them, you're like, I will change.
I will change.
Yeah.
Now, lads, in a half a sentence, what's happening at 1 o'clock? I'd like to give you guys a chance.
Half a sentence?
Awesomeness.
That'll do me nicely. It always is. Jared Christmas, Andrew Bird up next. Literally extraordinarily brilliant radio. Ditto to you, Katie Price. You brought your A game today. Thank you so much.
And I'll be back next week.
Boom. See you there. No flipping. It's FUBAR Radio. Here is a cheeky bit of Dolly Parton, who also works 9 to 5 and then radio at 1 o'clock from Jared and the gang.
And got better tits than me.
Boom.
Mark Dolan. Mark Dolan on the radio.
Oh, bless you.